This is the Patty Vasquez Show. Follow me on Twitter, Patty Vasquez, on 720 WGN.
Some people see the revolution, but most only see the girl. I can lose my heart and freedom if my fear defines my world. I declare my independence from the critics and the stones. I can find my revolution. I can learn to stand alone.
Wow, the traffic report today was accidents, backups, and what did you say, Don Kleppen? Did you say a sinkhole?
On Hubbard Street. You
on
got it.
Hubbard? Sinkhole. That's right over here. Scott Stantis from the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune. You and I both heard that correctly.
Yes, it's the dark times.
It's the dark times.
We could go hop down in it right now if we wanted to.
I don't want to.
It's Hubbard and what?
Hubbard between Clark and LaSalle.
That's right over by here. We were going to go to Mother Hubbard's later. That's not too far from there.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. We're not going to Mother Hubbard's.
Just grab
tonight.
A bottle and jump in the sinkhole.
Oh, my goodness. Do they? I mean, how much of the street is sinking?
It's been debated whether it's called a large pothole or a sinkhole. So that surface area total, kind of a fluctuating number we got here.
If a car fits in it, it's a sinkhole.
Right.
I mean, there are a lot of potholes around Chicago, which might qualify as well.
Yeah, this seems like a mother pothole.
A mother pothole. Mm-hmm. We need to do segments called Mother Pothole. Send us pictures of the biggest pothole you've encountered. Irving Park Road is a disaster. You have to slalom down the street. I had Mark DiCarlo and Yenny Alvarez in my car, and Mark turned to his wife and he goes, pay attention to how Patty's deftly avoiding all of those massive potholes. But if there's a sinkhole, that's massive. That seems significant.
Different thing, yeah. Like it's got a gravitational pull almost.
Yes. See? These are the things to be worried about.
Are demons emerging from it yet? Have we heard?
Chud?
No word yet.
Chuds. They're chuds down here.
Oh,
people.
Boy.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You know it, Patty.
There was an article I saw about how they determine which streets to approach and decide whether or not they're going to fill the potholes. So, and I don't know. I think you have to also contact your alderman's office. You know, call 311 and say, hey, you know, and make them come out and determine whether or not it is a sinkhole. I think if you call them and say, hey, I have a sinkhole on Irving Park Road, maybe they get there faster.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's just branding.
We'll be right. It's all about branding.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Yes.
We were going to the airport the other day. We were taking our, you know, dragging our little, you know, suitcase wheelie things across Wabash Bridge. Have you done this?
Oh.
You can lose a dog in this.
Yeah, how big the gaps are in the bridge.
Huge holes.
Mm-hmm. Big slats.
What is it called on a sidewalk? Is that still a pothole?
On a sidewalk? You mean the big gaps of pavement?
No, there's holes in the pavement.
Is it on the bridge?
Yeah.
So you can look down at the river?
Not quite.
Okay. Just
about.
It's an annoyance.
Well,
you know this bridge over here on Columbus that goes, it turns into Fairbanks on the other side of the river. You can't walk on that bridge. At least I think previously, I think they repaved it, but it was great. So if you had any shoes that had any sort of like any heel at all, men's dress shoes, you would get caught in the grates. A lot going on downtown.
Well, and that's when the chuds get you.
It's all booby trap.
Yes.
It's a booby trap.
It's all the chuds, man. It all comes back to chuds.
I have to say it was fun hanging out with you again at the Mincing Rascals, of course, now available anywhere you listen to podcasts, hosted by John Williams. I got there late, and I have to tell you why. Oh, no, I was on time. I got in front of this building at 11 o'clock. We have until Steve Bertrand wraps up his news. When Steve is doing weather, then I know I'm late. That's when I know I'm not going to make it on time, right? So I pull into the parking lot where we all have, a lot of us have parking passes. And I've struggled before because during the daytime, it is significantly different than when I get here at night and I pull into a spot and I'm fine. Not only were there no spots, there were three other cars with, we were all circling. There's not enough room. You've been in that parking garage.
Yeah.
There's not enough room to pass each other. Like a few weeks ago, I had to park in a this sort of walled off area of the parking garage, and I was in such a hurry I didn't even keep track of where it was. I had to get off at like 4 and 5 later and find my way down a ramp and around a corner where they also store some of the party buses in this area, and I wasn't even sure if it was a legal spot. I just kind of left it there and crossed my fingers. Today there was not even that was left, and I had to eventually, I saw a guy walk to his car. I had to do that trolling thing you do when you just roll behind someone. You go into your car. You go in your car. I'm not following you. Are you going to your car? And he had this teeny, you know, those like, what are they called? The little micro cars.
Yeah. Oh, no.
And he was parked in a spot that was not, I don't think it was actually a spot, because it had pipes on one side and, you know, one of the pillars, and it wasn't designated. There were no lines, but it didn't say no parking. So I got out of my car and I closed my the side mirrors. I folded them in. Yeah, I wedged myself into this, and I was sweating too. I was like,
how'd you get out of, did the door open?
That was the thing too. I had to get out on the passenger side because I was able to pull up forward in front of the pillar. So there was room there. Yeah. So
well, I was about to
say. It's always fun to crawl.
Thank God for the skylight.
Yeah. I don't have a
moonroof.
Do I have a moonroof? I don't have a moonroof.
You'd know if you had one.
You would think. I don't use.
How do you not know?
Because I don't use that. My mother has one in her beautiful Accord, and I borrow her car all the time.
How do you not use that on a nice day? I mean, I can understand it like during the polar
Vivian,
vortex.
Why would you not use a sunroof? For me, it's this. It's my hair would be blown all over the place.
I don't know. I like sunroofs a lot. I don't have one in my car, but I like them a lot, like especially during the summer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But right, yes, you're right. If I have my hair done, then absolutely not. No. That's going to be closed.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my sorry, Scott.
No, you said I had a convertible for and Janine. Oh, see, my wife hated it.
I think that maybe if it was a convertible, I don't think I would.
No, still no.
I don't think so.
All right, all right. You're missing out.
You know what?
What?
I agree.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But then the chugs can get you much easier.
This is true. The 708 says Chicago is getting ready to celebrate Sinkhole de Mayo. More after this on 720.
Get happy.
Same Glencoe. I got married there, not at the Writers Theater. It used to be the Glencoe Women's Library Club before it was the Writers Theater, and that was where my wedding reception was.
I know that.
It's so strange because they have the photos from the original structure. It was a beautiful looking building, sort of like a mansion almost. And they apparently used to have some of the Writers Theater productions there, and then the Writers Theater was like, you know what, it's time for us to grow, and they decided to do it. And the building incorporates some of the trees that were cut down in the area. They're part of the structure, as well as some of the bricks from the original Women's Library Club.
That's kind of awesome.
It was very cool. It was a wonderful place to get married, to have my reception. We were married at Saints Faith, Hope, and Charity, right down the street. Have I told you the story?
No.
So my husband grew up in Evanston, and the church where his entire family had worshipped, had every baptism, every wedding, every funeral, was where I wanted to get married, because all five of his sisters had gotten married there, and all their children had been baptized there, and so we went in to have a meeting. I'm going to take up all your time by telling you the story.
I apologize. That's fine.
So when Steve and I went to meet with the priest to make the arrangements and talk about how we wanted to get married and set the date, before we walked in, I said, "What do you want me to tell him when he asks me what religion I am?" And he said, "Well, just tell him the truth." And I said, "Okay." And so, you and I have talked about how it's a little complicated for me. So,
it
Vivian,
always is.
I feel like I learn something new about you every single time I work with you. So I'm ready.
Well, it's sort of an interesting. So I'm spiritual. I'm Lutheran. By if you ask me what my religion is, I would say, mm-hmm. Right. So you're very confused already.
Yes,
Scott,
because I've heard other stories.
So my parents, my mother is from Mexico, my father was Irish, and so they were both raised Catholic, but at some point drifted away from the Catholic Church. My father was not necessarily a regular churchgoer, but you know, he prayed and had his rosary, but just not committed to the religion enough to have me baptized when I was born. My mother was actually converted to Mormonism when she was living in Mexico City. Have we never had this conversation?
Wow. Only up to the Mormon part.
Yes. So my mother was divorced with three children, and, you know, the Mormon church offered her, you know, some help. You know, she just, it was the right time, and mm-hmm. she decided that she liked their approach. I always make this joke that, you know, my mom was probably, you know, overwhelmed and doing all these things, and the Mormon missionaries knocked on the door, and she's like, "Well, did you iron?" So, just trying to fold clothes. And so she promised basically to them that she would raise all of her children in the Mormon faith. And so my brother actually is still a Mormon. He was a Mormon missionary. My sister Alejandra went to Brigham Young. My sister Dorita, who still lives in Mexico City, or maybe she lives in Arizona now. They were traveling back and forth for a while, mm-hmm. but she stayed with the Catholic Church. So my parents did not baptize me when I was born. But when the Mormon church said, "Well, we'd like to come talk to your daughter," the missionaries started coming to my home, and I would go to Sunday school at the Mormon church, which, by the way, would go from like 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. So I contend that my mom just saw it as free babysitting.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
I know. So so anyway, I was raised in the Mormon faith until I was baptized. So you're baptized when you are supposed to be of reasonable, like when you have come to logic, right? So at 10 years old, apparently I had enough reason and common sense to make that decision. And it's very strange. Like, it was, you know, my missionaries had explained to me like what was going to happen. And one of the things that they said to me was, if I didn't get baptized and my parents died, I would not be able to spend eternity with them. And that scared me, right? Like, and then all of a sudden you're 10 years old thinking about eternity and never seeing your parents anymore. I'm like, yes,
oh, wow.
Please baptize me. And when
I would have had the opposite reaction. But we had different parents.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out. So I, it's dark. We're both very dark people. Well, so so when you go, and this is, there's a Church of Latter-day Saints on the North Shore up in, I can't remember, it's like on Lake Road. So you go in and you're given a robe and the garments and everything, and it's just you and the missionary. Like, my parents aren't there. There's not like a celebration, at least we didn't. I just go in and it's like this walk-in, almost like a small pool with steps.
It's full immersion?
It's full immersion, yeah. So that was the problem, was you got to tell a girl when you might drown her. like, at least say, hey, you might want to hold your nose. Like, that should have been.
No.
So he's like, all I remember is blah, 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 in the name of the Father. And he pushed, and he had his arm around my back, and he pushed my forehead and dunked me backwards over his arm. And I'm like, you know, and the son, and I'm like, I'm like, this guy's drowning me. And that was the last day I was a Mormon. It's a true story, because I thought that I was going to feel the Holy Spirit. I thought that I was going to feel like this connection with God. And I mean, like,
well, you came close to death.
I know,
could be the same
but
thing.
I didn't feel enlightened. So,
oh my goodness.
So my brother's still disappointed in me. My brother Jesus, he's like, well, you go, he said, you know, once you're baptized, you never can leave the Mormon church. So, so I thought I had left. So my friend, a lot of my friends were Lutherans. So, and my mom, like, we liked the potluck dinners. So I became
that's a good enough reason.
Yeah, and they had good Why coffee. Not? They had really good coffee. So I actually then also transferred to a Lutheran school. I went to Our Savior Lutheran in Norwood Park. And I like the Lutheran church. Griffin and I get into arguments. Anyway, so the priest, we're talking, and he said, what religion are you, Patty? This is in preparation for our wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'm Lutheran. He goes, oh, great. Of course, because it's, you know, it's sort of a lateral move to a lot
of
people.
Yeah, it's Catholic light.
Yeah. So we're about to leave. He gets up from his seat and he goes, oh, Patty, I'll just need your baptismal records. And I said, funny story. I was actually baptized Mormon. And he goes, ooh. And he sat back down and he said,
no.
Yes. He said, well, in the Catholic Church, the only thing worse than being an atheist is being a Mormon.
No.
And yes, so I had to go to my Lutheran grade school, and I don't even know where I would get those records now if I wanted to. So I got the records, and Steve was like, well, you know, just give him what he wants. And Steve still thought it wasn't that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had to meet with him again, and he looks at the paperwork and he goes, all right, well, so he pulls out this sheet, and Steve has to sign this document saying that he acknowledges he's basically marrying a pagan. And that his, you had that sheet?
Yeah, yeah. I was not baptized.
Oh.
And so we were considered, as I think you are, a mixed marriage. Is that what they called you?
Yes, mixed
marriage.
And
we had special dispensation from the bishop. I'm not kidding.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't even need dispensation. Well, I don't know if we did, because so Steve, now when he has to sign the document, is a little bit appalled that he feels that I'm being mistreated by the priest, and this is unnecessary. Steve has to promise that he's going to raise our children in the Catholic faith,
right,
which, by the way, we have, and I respect, and I go to the church with them all the time. But, okay, Griffin would say not all the time. But then the priest says, and I'll never forget this, he goes, well, I'm going to need to meet Patty's parents. And Steve goes, no, you don't. Because I was like, yes. And this is how long ago it was. I picked up the phone with like one of those corded, you know, with a long cord on it, and with this like coil. And I call I'm just like laughing the entire time. I'm like, Mom, Dad, the priest wants to meet you. And my mom's like, okay, bring him over. So about a week later, the priest comes over, and we're all sitting in the living room. My mom pulls out the Book of Mormon. She's like, show me. show me in this book how you are better than anyone else. Like, this whole thing. My dad starts going after him. My dad's like, let me ask you something. So why do I got to get in a box and confess to you? Why do I got to tell you anything? Why don't I just tell God? Why you got to get in the middle of that?
Oh, my goodness.
The priest nearly fell down the stairs trying to, and we had already decided we were going to fire him. And ultimately, we ended up finding Steve's childhood priest. So instead of, rather than getting married at his church, we actually were able to get married by the priest who had been the officiant at all the weddings and baptisms and funerals. And it was lovely.
Well, that story is way better than me just describing the cartoon. So thank you.
Yep. So that's, I know I've had people ask me about Mormonism before, but that's the short version of how I got married.
Yeah, you're not. Let me tell you about Mormonism.
No.
If that makes people run away.
You know, when Griffin was born, the missionary showed up on my front porch. Yeah, because there's a room in a cave somewhere, and alarms go off when another baby's being born to a former.
Wait. What?
Yes.
Really?
Oh, yeah. So I gotta go. More after this. How long have we been on? I'm telling stories off the air now. I am so thrilled to be in studio tonight. Green City Markets. We had our. I'm totally flaking on your name. We were telling you stories, and I want to welcome to the show from Green City. I don't have any of my sheets in front of me, Chris. Chris is like sitting here. He's like, I sent you all the information. Here, yeah, hand me that. Introduce yourself to our audience.
I am Melissa Flynn. I'm the executive director of Green City Market. I'm so happy to be here with you this evening. Thank you.
Now, last time you were here, Melissa, you were telling us about all the great programs that you have year long, right?
Yes.
And all the classes and where folks can go to indoor markets. But now it's springtime. We're heading into summer and it's going to be all the fun outdoor stuff. What are you most excited about as the weather warms up?
I can't wait to get back outside on May 4th. Two, I would say all the stuff that's coming into season. So like garlic scapes and asparagus and ramps. And I can't wait for the first strawberry of the season. It makes my mouth water just thinking about it.
Oh, fun. So when you go to the produce section of the grocery store, you're like, you guys don't measure up. These strawberries are not the same.
They're white on the inside. That's not a strawberry.
It is not at all. How much has it changed for you guys at Green City Market when it comes to the attention that's given to local farmers and local produce and a lot of the, like, whether it's cheeses or jams and things
like
that?
Sure. So when we started 20 years ago, because we're celebrating our 20th anniversary, we started in an alley next to the Chicago Theater with about 6 vendors and I think maybe 6 shoppers.
What?
So we really were kind of unheard of that these farmers were growing sustainably and coming to Chicago. And it's really chefs like Rick Bayless and Sarah Stegner that came to every market and showed farmers that the chef community would buy from them. And then a few more shoppers came and a few more. And we are so grateful to the chefs of Chicago and the shoppers who've supported us 20 years down the road. And now we have like 8,000 to 10,000 people who come through on a Saturday. It's awesome.
So it's gone from a novelty to a way of life for a lot of
people. Absolutely.
Yeah. And the thing is that the restaurants do market themselves as from farm to table. Sort of is a wonderful way to feel connected to your community, to the region that you live in.
They do. And people have said, oh, is that a fad? Is it over? And we're like, oh, no, it is just beginning. And it's the way people should eat.
Yes, it should be. Well, and they say that, I remember when I was younger, my mother was, before Whole Foods was a huge thing for everybody, but she had a book about Whole Foods and how it is better and healthier for you to eat the foods that are grown in the region that you live in, at the same climate and everything.
Absolutely. And there's so many stories about that and stories about how when you eat locally, you feel better. It improves your health. There was a story about an Indian tribe that was having a big powwow, and for the weekend, they cooked what they should indigenously eat, and the incidence of diabetes dropped from that weekend just because they were eating what they were meant to eat, their local foods, prepared the way they were historically used to eating them. And so we know that when we eat what we're supposed to at the proper times of year, our bodies respond positively to it.
Oh, man. So all those tomatoes I've been eating all year round were wrong for me.
Well, tomatoes are always good, but they are much, much better in the summer.
Well, mostly towards the end of the summer.
Yes.
Man, I have to tell you, I'm so jealous. I've got to get a handle on our garden. My mom does all the work in the garden. I used to before the kids, but it's such a wonderful thing when I see everyone bringing in their tomatoes. They have so many that they're sharing them with everybody else.
I have a great cheat for you on that. So Nichols, one of our farmers, last year I bought it. They sell hanging basket of tomatoes.
Uh-huh.
So it's a gorgeous tomato plant, but it's a hanging basket. So squirrels and stuff won't get to it. You water it. I picked tons of tomatoes all summer long. It was delicious. So that's your easy cheat. You don't even have to garden.
And that'll be at the market.
Mm-hmm.
And that's from which farm?
Nichols Farm.
Nichols Farm. I'm going to get one of those hanging baskets.
And they've been with us for 20 years.
Excellent. And now opening day at Lincoln Park is Saturday, May 4th.
Correct.
And that's going to run every Saturday then through October.
Every Saturday and Wednesday in Lincoln Park from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then we open in the West Loop not till June 2nd.
Do most of the... Now, this is a question from comedian Paul Farvar Esquire. He's a regular here on the show and also a host at WGN. He and I are both a bit of night owls, as you can tell. Is 1 p.m. pretty much standard for when they all close the markets?
Typically.
Yes.
Although, you know, there are some night markets, like in Lincoln Square has a night market.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Hello.
But we are working on creating an app so that if you are a night owl and just can't get to market, you can still get our food and we will be able to deliver it to WGN. So if everybody from WGN wanted to order from us, you can order on our app and we would bring it to WGN.
See, that's a better way to go. And I know I downloaded the app last time. And you've got a lot of great... Oh, you're even going to have some demos for opening day, too, with some chefs. You mentioned how incredible the relationship is between Green City Market and the chefs. Tell us who's going to be there.
Sure. So we have Paul Verrant, who's going to be there. And then we have... somebody from the publican going to be there as well.
Ooh. Oh, and then it's Benison's Bakery's anniversary.
It's our anniversary, so they baked a cake for us.
Oh, I see. I was going to say. So they made a 20th anniversary cake for you.
Mm-hmm.
And Benison's is in Evanston?
It is, and they've been a longtime vendor of ours as well.
Yeah, they make great cakes and cookies.
So that's worth coming alone.
No kidding. That's all great stuff. So there's going to be a ribbon cutting. Do you know who, do we know if like the new mayor might be stopping by?
She has certainly been invited.
Pending.
So hopefully.
Pending. All right. Well, no pressure.
Right.
Mayor-elect.
You're more than welcome, mayor-elect, and we happen to know she likes farmers markets. So.
Right. This is wonderful. So Green City Market, one of the top markets in the Midwest, and you've been recognized as leading markets by consumers, farmers, and chefs. And I just love that there's so much great history. And celebrating your 20th anniversary is such a great way to start the summer, too.
We are so excited. We've come so far, and it's a great way to showcase all the programs we're doing beyond the market as well.
Uh-huh.
So lots of people don't know we do things beyond the market. So having our 20th anniversary is a great way to talk about all the programs we do in school and all the access work that we do to make sure all Chicagoans have access to healthy food.
Excellent. Well, let's talk about that when we come back from the break. Let's talk about beyond the market. We're hanging out with Melissa Flynn, and she is the director of
Green City Market.
Green City Market. Let me write down director because I don't know where my paperwork went. Chris Combs helping me out with all the notes. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. Let's take a break here. If you have any questions for our friend, the director of the Green City Market, celebrating 20 years. Again, the outdoor farmers market season starts on May 4th is when they're opening in Lincoln Park. And then the West Loop opening day is going to be on Saturday, June 1st. 312-981-7200. If you have any questions about our farmers markets here in Chicago, give us a call or text us at 312-981-7200. Hey, taxi driver Bob, if you're still listening, I'm sorry I missed your call. We can talk a little bit later if you want. All right. Thanks. Bye. Personal messages for listeners. One of the great elements of the Chicago landscape is having incredible farmers markets, and the outdoor farmers market season kicks off. The Green City Market is celebrating 20 years of Green City, of having these incredible farmers markets here in Chicago, starting with right outside of the Chicago Theater in the alley, which is what a great story and an image too. You know,
absolutely.
You think of people on State Street going, what's going on over here?
I'm sure they had no idea what was going on.
Yeah. Where did it move afterwards?
So then we were in Daly Plaza for a little bit.
That's right.
And then made it over to Lincoln Park, which is where we are still.
Kind of spread out a little
bit. Spread out a bit. And it's nice to be in a park.
No kidding. And that's what a gorgeous park to be in. We have Melissa Flynn, who is the director of Green City Markets, telling us about their launch, their kickoff for the outdoor market season, which is Saturday, May 4th, as she mentioned, at Lincoln Park at North Clark and Lincoln Avenue. So it's the south end of Lincoln Park.
Correct.
So that folks can kind of imagine where that is. They're going to have a ribbon cutting. There's going to be a 20th anniversary cake by Benison's Bakery, plus cooking demos. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that there's some great beyond the market elements too. You've got a fundraiser coming up this summer.
Absolutely. Our Chef Barbecue on July 18th. It is, I may be biased, but I feel like it is the best food event in Chicago. We already have over over 90 chefs confirmed and beverage partners, so you will get to taste your way around the best restaurants in Chicago all in one place. And it is what helps drive all the funding for the rest of our programs in school, our field trips, the edible garden that we do, and of course our access programs.
Wonderful. And how do people register for that event?
They can go right to our website, greencitymarket.org.
Greencitymarket.org. And as Melissa mentioned, you can also download the app. If you can't make it to the market, they can also deliver, or you can have someone do the shopping for you.
Do the shopping for you. So right now we have people picking up at market, but we are doing for corporations, we will deliver right to the offices.
For the corporations. Mm-hmm. Good to know. So if WGN wants to get on that. Vivian, I think you and I would benefit from something like that since we work at night.
I agree.
So we got two. Yeah, two. How many do we need to get the
maybe
station on board?
Just one or two more.
One or two more.
Got it.
I, you know who I see not enjoying that? Marlene. You know, having to worry about, fresh produce coming into the...
Marlene, we'll figure it out.
We have to have somebody who does the receiving and sorting here.
Yeah, you know,
that's gonna be the part.
Yeah, give us some time. Let's look through that.
Let's work on a plan on this. So again, the market opens, the outdoor market season opens on Saturday, May 4th. That's the one in Lincoln Park, and then the West Loop opening day is on Saturday, June 1st. And you were talking about some programs, as you mentioned, mm-hmm. now with the fundraising. You've got the classes for kids and field trips and things like that. Tell us how can folks get their kids involved?
Sure. So at market, it's super easy. Every market day, we have a program called Club Sprouts. And so kids can come and taste stuff. They can do a farm-to-table activity so they can see where food comes from. Depending on the time of year, they might plant a seedling or they might write a thank you note to one of our farmers during National Farmers Market Week. We also have a 5,000-square-foot teaching garden, so you can help us plant, weed, taste, harvest, and really kind of consider it your garden. And so that's a great way to get involved. And we do field trips for schools on Wednesdays and Saturdays. And from that, a lot of teachers kept saying, what else can you do? Can you come in our classroom? How can you help us teach our students?
Sure.
And so we started a program modeled after Alice Waters' Edible Schoolyard. And right now we're teaching right in schools, 90 minutes a week, every week as part of the school day. And we teach modern day home ec. So the kids are learning how to nourish themselves. They're learning basic kitchen skills. They're learning things like food justice and nutrition and how to read a label and how to budget so that a can of beans is a lot more expensive than fresh beans. And what can you do with that? So it's been fantastic.
And the thing about making your own beans is you have more control over not just the taste, but also how it ends up in your system.
Yes, that is very
how
true.
How do I put that better? Just digestively, there are things that you can... Do you know what I'm talking about, Vivian?
Yeah.
You have to have some tricks. Olive oil, I've heard there are different things you can add to make you a little bit less gassy, is what
absolutely.
I'm saying.
Absolutely.
Yes.
But the kids get to learn so much, and they learn things that they thought they could never make, like ketchup.
What?
Or how to make refried beans, sticking on the bean theme.
Yeah.
Or how to make French onion dip just a little bit healthier.
Wow.
So it's really
kind of
fun.
Yeah.
That sounds good. You're making me so hungry right now.
I know. I am too.
I'm so hungry.
We've got to remember to, like, when we bring in guests that are going to talk about food, we have to figure some way to balance
it. Yeah. Bring food.
I do.
Just kidding.
I have Snickers over here if you want some.
That's not necessarily really that healthy.
I know. You're not required to bring food. That's on us.
You may have to taste it.
Well, there you go. And where is this 5,000 square foot, the garden that you're talking
sure.
about?
Sure. So we host it right at the Lincoln Park Zoo, their farm in the zoo. So it's literally across the street from our market.
Oh, wonderful. I had no idea.
Yeah, it's kind of a hidden gem, but literally it is Chicago's garden.
Uh-huh.
So when we're there, you can come and interact and help us in all sorts of ways.
Have you seen this this guy on, I saw a clip of it on WTTW where he does the urban foraging and shows people how to eat just plants that are growing. Have you seen that? I'm like, I don't know if I trust that. I think I'd rather go to the farmer's market.
Definitely come to the farmer's market.
Yeah.
We have things that are foraged, such
oh, really?
As ramps, but we have people who are experts at foraging and know exactly what they're looking for.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, you have folks that can teach you how to forage?
Well, we have like ramps that come to market. That's a foraged item here.
Okay.
And obviously mushrooms and things like
yes.
that, some of the mushrooms. So you can take the worry out of it. Let us forage
yeah,
for you.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. you know, he was like showing people how to eat stuff off the ground. I'm like, people walk their dogs on this path. What are you eating off the path for?
Just come to the market.
Just come to the market. Exactly. Again, that's going to be Saturday, May 4th. And the season runs through October 26th. And then when the season ends, though, it's not over.
No, we are year round because you really need good food year round. Exactly. So we move inside to the Peggy Notabart Nature Museum.
And there's one indoor market this Saturday.
Yes, today or this Saturday is our last indoor market. Okay. So come on out.
Excellent. Now, you mentioned something about the classes that you do with the kids that caught my attention as well, which is food justice. Mm-hmm. What is food justice?
So we talk about how not everybody has equal access to food. So we talk about our link program and why that's important. And we talk about how some of the choices that you have are really dictated from the government of what's available in certain areas and things like that. And so we want to make sure that everybody across Chicago has access to healthy food. And we all play a part in that by demanding it, demanding higher standards for our school lunches, which have really gotten better through the years, by when you go to a restaurant, really asking where their food comes from. If you are shopping a grocery store, asking what does local really mean? And so that everybody, whether regardless of your zip code, has access to healthy food, because it really is a right, not a privilege.
When you say what does local really mean, what should it mean when you ask somebody?
So local for us means typically within, for us it's a state radius, but within 300 miles. The average distance to our market is 150 miles. So it's Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, and Wisconsin. And so it's what's grown right here, what's grown around us that you could literally get to. So you're not going to see things like avocados, because you can't grow those in the Midwest, sadly. I wish you could.
I know.
Things like that. So what is grown locally and sustainably? So it's really putting the best food in your body you possibly can.
And if they're 150 miles away, some of these farmers are just getting up at like 2 and driving here.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
So some of them start at midnight.
Okay.
They're typically like a typical farmer's market prep day for a farmer. They're picking the day before, then they're loading the trucks. So they start hours and hours. So if they're getting to our market by 4:45, mm-hmm. most of them are leaving in the 2 o'clock hour. Then they get to our market between 4:45 and like 5:15. They set up. We open at 7. We close at 1. They're out of there by almost 3. They're driving home, then they're unloading the trucks. So these farmers have a long day.
They really do.
So if you're going to buy one item, go buy two.
Yeah. Get yourself to the Green City Market. Again, the launch for the summer season is Saturday, May 4th, and they're celebrating 20 years of Green City Market. And there'll be cake from Benison's Bakery. There'll be some cooking demos. There's going to be music by the Winchesters. Of course, as you mentioned, Melissa, the Club Sprouts. You can make some biodegradable plant starts and learn about compost.
Yes.
Which I keep meaning to do. I have a big barrel in my backyard, like a big Rubbermaid, you know, garbage can with holes in it, and they've never really done anything.
We can help you.
Okay, let's do that.
Yes.
I think some worms. I think worms are probably necessary.
Are good.
Yeah, let's get some worms in there. Melissa, it was a pleasure. And again, also download the app. You can find out more about all that at greencitymarket.org. And again, the West Loop opening day is on Saturday, June 1st. And don't make it so long before you come back.
Love to come back anytime.
I won't forget your name next time. It's one of those things where I have a guest list on security, and I forgot yours on the list. I apologize.
That's okay.
But I try to flash to it and go, oh, I should have written that down. Thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight. I'll see you soon. Get some rest.
Thanks,
you
too.
Thank you. More after this on 720 WGN. So much fun talking to our friends from the Green City Market. And I've found out that Mayor Emanuel declared May 4th to be Green City Market Day in the city of Chicago. So May 4th, 2019 is also officially Green City Market Day as announced by Mayor Emanuel. That's kind of that's a nice thing to have. It's your own day.
Yeah.
20 years of that. Coming up after the news, we're going to find out about one of the businesses in Chicago that was named one of the best places to work. I always wonder about these places. What are you doing that other places need to be following suit? So we'll check in with our friends when we come back. What I'm always fascinated by, Vivian,
there are
two types of stories I'm fascinated with. One is the people that live to be 100 years old.
Yeah.
And I always want to know how they got there. Uh-huh. You know, like, and I'm always hoping maybe it'll be vodka and bacon. Maybe they made it through vodka and bacon. And the other stories I'm always drawn to are when they come up with these lists of the best places to work. And Crane's Business has named Klein and Hoffman among the top companies to work in Chicago. So the nice thing is I get to ask those folks why they're such a great place to work. How do they make make that list. And joining us tonight, we have John Boyd, who is the chairman and chief executive officer of Klein and Hoffman, and Michelle Ryland, who is an architect, structural engineer, and of course has the kinds of degrees my mother wish I had gotten. No, really. My mom, when I was in high school, Michelle, I went to Lane Tech, and so, you know, I my mom was like, oh, you could be an engineer. My mom's from Mexico. You should study drafting and learn how to build things. I actually do have friends who became engineers who ended up in your field, and I have to ask. Well, first, let me ask you, where are you from originally, Michelle?
I'm from a small town called Oregon, Illinois. It's about 100 miles west of Chicago, 30 miles south of Rockford.
And did you know at a certain age that you wanted to build stuff and know how it worked and how to make sure things were sturdy?
I actually got my first interest in architecture by designing Barbie houses with my best friend growing up. She dressed the Barbies, and I built their houses.
That's outstanding. Oh, and I'm glad that you were able to, you know, have the support, I'm guessing, to pursue that, too.
Yes.
That's a big part of it.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, and John Boyd, where are you from originally?
I'm actually from downstate as well.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, a little small town down Rushville, which is down in sort of the pregnant bulge of southern Illinois.
I've never heard of our geography as being described as having a pregnant bulge. I shall never look at my state the same way again. Does the pregnant bulge lean more toward Missouri?
Yes,
or
yes.
Toward Missouri. Yeah, I mean, in my mind, I'm trying to like think of.
I was thinking like 8 months, yeah. 9 months.
Yeah. Yeah. Third trimester. Yeah.
A question that you've never asked.
We're sort of been the pivot point.
Wow, unbelievable! And what drew you to your field of architecture and engineering?
I don't know. I think I was very interested in building things, sort of like Michelle when I was a young kid. I played with Lincoln Logs and all kinds of fun stuff, and thought that I'd be an architect someday.
What do you ever see like toys out there that you wish parents would encourage their kids to, like, you know, if they seem like they want to build stuff? So Lincoln Logs actually sounds like the best thing, though. I loved Lincoln Logs.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, to me it was Erector sets, but that goes way back.
Oh, you know, wasn't there a news anchor who had an incredible collection of Erector sets? I feel like I went to I want to say it was John Drury, had this amazing collection that was on display, and I had the opportunity to see that. Okay, not what we're here to talk about. Not John Drury's Erector set. I don't even know where that came from. Just, you know, like little memories pop up. So I want to know, John, how long, first of all, have you been with Klein and Hoffman?
I joined the firm back in 2001.
2001, and what kind of work do you guys do? Like restoration?
Yeah, we're primarily in the restoration space, existing buildings. A lot of traditional architecture firms and structural firms are all about building new buildings.
Uh-huh.
We're more about keeping the ones that exist, you know, working right. We're actually working on this building. Yeah.
Which this one?
This one.
The one I'm in?
Yep.
What needs to be fixed?
Oh, no, we're not. we're making it. We're just helping improve some of the spaces.
Okay, fair enough.
Upgrades, we do those sort of things.
I had no idea. Yeah. This is what a serendipitous exchange this is. Yeah. You're working on my very building. And so, Michelle, what brought you to Klein and Hoffman?
I started at Klein and Hoffman in 2011. Is it green, pretty green, fresh out of school. And I was just wanted to be a part of a legacy that was involved in restoring and maintaining the great architecture that we already have.
I agree. My dream someday is to have like a repurposed building, you know, whether it's like something industrial or a church or something. Like, I love the idea of having, you know, using what we already have. Not that there, you know, there aren't incredible architectural feats to accomplish, but I love that's the kind of work you guys do at Klein and Hoffman.
Well, actually, that's very much about why we're in the space we are, because there's a lot more buildings existing than there are that will be built in a given year, so a lot more construction dollars are spent every year fixing things than they are building new buildings.
Yeah, and that makes complete sense. So Klein & Hoffman has been around for 65 years, is that right?
Yeah, we're a global law firm.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
And when did this tradition of really wanting to make sure that people are, I mean, do you know when, has it always been a great place to work, or was it something that somebody sat down and went, hey, we want to have fun, you know, fun events, we want to make sure that people have flexible work schedules, make sure that their kids, you know that their parents are going to be around for, you know, those important moments.
Well, that's a good question, because it's a it started out, obviously, like many traditional male-dominated firms back in the 50s. And, you know, I entered the profession way too long ago. I'm very near the retirement period of my life. But I saw things, you know, when I entered the firm that I didn't feel were right. And it was a great firm, had great reputation, did great things, but I knew we could do better. And when I became chairman, I sort of set the mission to change the culture. And, you know, Michelle joined us around that time. And I think she's a good example of the things that we've changed in the firm. She became a catalyst. And I think she actually has a story to tell about what she thought about us when she joined us in 2011.
What did you think when you joined them?
In 2011, Klein and Hoffman wasn't exactly a place to write home about. I also have very high expectations for things. And, you know, I enjoyed the work I was doing and the people that I was working with, but I just saw some things that could use some improvement. And I think the great story, for me at least, is how much Klein and Hoffman has changed in the 8 years that I have been there. I mean, it's a phenomenal change that I have witnessed personally.
And what went into that? Was it feedback from the people that worked there? Was it going to other companies and trying to figure out what works and what doesn't? Was that a little bit of it?
I think a lot of... I think it was management getting on board with the suggestions and comments from the younger group and really realizing that, hey, we've got a great group of people coming up to maintain this legacy of our company, and we want to make sure they stick around and we create a place that everyone wants to be a part of.
Yeah.
I think the real conversation had to do with the fact that we're very much an open door place.
Right.
And I know when Michelle joined us a decade ago, she very much, pushing there, very much was, you know, I welcomed her into my office, as I do all of our employees, and we started conversations early on. And I listened to her, and she listened to me. And, you know, the things that she wanted to change back then were not necessarily things we'd change overnight.
Sure.
But over time, she became a big part of the catalyst that makes us better.
That's a wonderful story. And the fact that there's a company that's willing to listen, because, you know, there's a lot of times you go into management's office and they smile and they nod and they say thank you for your input, or maybe they do surveys and, you know, nobody really sees the results of that. And the fact that Klein and Hoffman took the initiative to start moving forward and make it a place where, and as you mentioned, for not necessarily a lot of positions previously that were held by women. Was that still the case when you were in school for engineering?
There's a fair amount of female students in my class.
But when it comes to the workplace, does that seem to be a little bit different?
The ratio has definitely decreased in the actual workplace, for sure.
It's like anything else. It takes time to, you know, and also to set an example, right? To say, hey, look, we're doing the work together. See how well this is going. And it sounds as though incorporating both the sort of perspective of this is what it's like to be a woman at this company and embracing that and going, here's what we can do for everybody.
Well, and we opened the doors and very much wanted to attract women into the firm, but we're very much a hard hat oriented kind of firm. We're not like a new design firm where we're sitting there just drawing pictures. We're out in the field getting our feet dirty, and you know, the women and the men do it side by side, and so not every woman wants to do that. You know, it takes a special person, and we don't really necessarily focus on hiring a woman versus a man. We hire the best person.
Sure.
And what I found in the last decade of hiring is so often the woman's the best choice.
And that's it means showing up, right?
Right.
And encouraging kids, whether they're, you know, boys or girls of every, you know, race, to hear possibilities. I think that's the thing that I'm trying to do with my son, is take him on trips to show him the world, right? To, you know, as much as I can, so that he knows what's out there. You know, like my mom took me to Boston when I was a kid, and I wish that when I was 13 I had thought, oh, I can live somewhere else. But for me, like, it was more about just visiting and going back home.
Sure.
But it sounds like you're opening the doors in the world to, you know, just also your own perspective.
Well, and Michelle does the same thing in our practice. I mean, she's carrying forth that same kind of thing. She works a lot with young students, high school kids and even grade school kids, brings them into the office and is very much involved in a mentoring program. I mentor her, she mentors downstream. I mean,
nice.
And I always look at it as this circular mentoring. I learn from these young people every day.
Oh, there you go. And we all should. We all should be learning from each other and remind ourselves of that. We are talking to our friends John Boyd. He is the chairman and chief executive officer of Klein and Hoffman. 40 years of experience. I know you didn't want to say that.
Geez.
40 years of experience in the fields of structural and architectural engineering. I'm reading your bios now.
I'm feeling it.
Yeah, Michelle Ryland. She's an architect, structural engineer, and an associate at Klein and Hoffman. And I want to talk a bit more about the work that you guys do with repairing, restoring, and the adapt. I want to talk about some of the buildings you've done, because I love our city. I love our buildings, and I want to hear more about your work.
Great.
Again, Klein and Hoffman, named one of the best places to work in Chicago by Cranes, and it's a great conversation. I told you, I just want to know how do you do it? More in a moment. 720 WGN. If you have any questions or comments, we'd always love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. Anytime you want to call or text. One of the best places to work in Chicago by Cranes Business. We have in studio with us our friends from Klein and Hoffman, John Boyd and Michelle Ryland, and they were telling us about how the focus of the work that they do as architects and engineers is repairing, restoring some of the great buildings in Chicago. And I'm guessing, you know, some of the ones that maybe weren't great before, but you make them great. Is that part of the plan too?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, we'll get called into a building and we like adding stories and literally adding stories to buildings and having stories to tell about them. So it's fun to look at the buildings and say that we had an impact on that. And we can point to the Board of Trade or the Shedd Aquarium or the Union Station building.
That's one of my favorite buildings is Union Station.
And we just love being involved in those kind of projects.
What kind of work were you doing on the Union Station?
The Great Hall.
I love that. And not just because it was in the Untouchables. Was there a plan to add floors to that, too? Did I see something?
That's been abandoned. Okay. You know, we were involved in that, and we're not the design architect. You know, we're in support of the design team, but it's been a phenomenal project to be involved
in. Yeah, I would imagine. That is one of the great landmarks in Chicago. What were you surprised by, Michelle, when you got involved in architecture and, you know, working with Klein and Hoffman restoring buildings? Was there something you're like, oh, I mean, it seems as though you've found a path that you're happy and energized by.
Yes. I think when I started, I wasn't really expecting, or maybe I didn't have any sort of expectation of the great caliber of buildings I would get to see. I mean, I've been in some really crazy spaces of buildings in Chicago. Some of the really old churches, I've been up in above the beautiful ceilings and in their attic looking at their roof structure, crawled around in some really gross, dirty places, but it's fun.
What's been one of your favorites? Do you have one that jumps out at you?
Let's see. I brought a list.
Did you? Oh. Some of the work that you've done. I love that.
Yeah.
It's always good to have a list. Yeah, because I, you know, we used to work in the Tribune Tower, and I miss it every day. But what were you going to say?
We're all over the Tribune Tower right now.
Oh, you guys are in the Tribune Tower?
Absolutely.
Oh, we didn't. That wasn't us that put initials on some of the walls. We weren't in there at all.
Yeah, we're up there, Trumps, and around the gargoyles.
Isn't it beautiful?
It's a beautiful.
It's really. I mean, this is a great view, obviously, but the Tribune Tower towers over other buildings.
Yeah, right. Right.
It does.
A couple of years ago, we were involved with the Reese House move, which was an old mansion along Prairie Avenue that we jacked up, put on some hydraulics, and drove it down the street a block to make way for the new Wintrust Arena.
Wow.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is that there's something about architects and engineers. I mean, we all just walk down the street and it's all becomes a sort of background. You know, it's our scenery.
Right.
And to have that ability, I say it's about singers, too, to be able to do something that other people wish they could or just have no understanding of what it takes to do that. It's incredible. But I do think it sounds like there might be a drawback, which is when you're walking down the street, you see everything that you would do differently, don't you?
Yeah. Some
instances,
yep.
Because I talked to some engineers in Wisconsin, and they were telling me like they'll see like a even a water tower and be like, well, why'd they do it that way? Or do you see things that you're like, oh, I would love to work on that? Is that something that comes up for you too?
Not for me. I'm pretty satisfied with the
challenges that they come up.
Yes, yeah. And the broadness of the projects that I'm currently working on. So
it's interesting. You know, I'm more from the architectural side of the practice, although Michelle and I have very similar backgrounds. I'm also an architect and a structural engineer, as she is. But I'm much more on the architectural side of the practice these days. She's more on the structural side. The structural group took on an interesting project that I really didn't even know about until it was completed, and that's the Shakespeare Theater.
It's gorgeous at Navy Pier?
Yes, at Navy Pier. And our role was in designing the movable stages. Oh. And our team came up with a way to move these around, and they decided to elevate them on air.
What?
Yes.
Okay.
They're lifted
sure.
by air like a hydroplane, basically, and you two men can push them around. And it was just a phenomenal solution that our team came up with.
That's incredible. I mean, it's all, and you are like bursting with pride.
I am, absolutely. These guys just come up with stuff, and it's like you have to continually think outside the box in the work that we do.
If there are parents listening right now who, you know, wonder what should their kid be studying in high school, maybe to think about whether or not that's an avenue they want to go to, engineering, architecture. What would you recommend, Michelle?
Math.
STEM.
Math. Yes, STEM classes. If there's a drafting course that's available, or math, any sort of intro to engineering, physics classes, those would all be great ones.
Yeah, and I encourage folks to, you know, look at the world around you, you know, and encourage kids to be a part of that future. It's
right.
So cool.
Absolutely.
And I also love that Klein and Hoffman is involved in a lot of volunteering. And do you guys do the which stair climb do you do? I saw that which stair climb did you do?
I did the Step Up for Kids at the Aon Center.
Okay.
Benefiting Lurie Children's Hospital.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that. You should come with us to the Fight for Air Climb. We do the Presidential Towers.
Okay.
I'll go to yours. You come to mine.
Fair enough. I think it's a deal.
I like
there
it.
You go. Actually, Michelle's involved in a project this weekend. They're actually, through the Structural Engineers Association, she can talk about it, but they're going to be working on a house project.
Oh, really?
And Michelle's actually the lead person on it.
That's wonderful. I wish I was an engineer. I would come work with you.
We're not doing too much engineering work, but...
Or architecture, yeah.
Yes, this weekend, the Structural Engineers Association of Illinois is sponsoring a home through Rebuilding Together, and this Saturday is National Rebuilding Day. And so basically we've sponsored a home of a 90-year-old veteran in Chicago Heights, and we've got about 10 or so volunteers signed up to spend their day on Saturday helping fix up various issues with his home.
That's outstanding. If folks want to help you out with that, do you have like a page where people can donate? Or do you need anybody to? Or do you guys all set?
I think we're good now.
We got this.
We've been planning for a couple months, so we're pretty well set to go on Saturday.
Just thought I'd put it out there in case you need you know, any donations or anything like that. I didn't realize you had offices in Philadelphia as well.
Yeah, it's a satellite office at this point. We actually went through a metamorphosis back in 12. Mm-hmm. And we actually had a larger presence out there, and we actually, in the transition and the transformation of the firm that we did, we actually sold off a part of our business that was less compatible with what we do today, and went back to our core work. But we maintain a restoration practice out there, and there are just so many wonderful buildings in the Philadelphia area to be working.
Oh, sure. With. Oh, yeah. No kidding. I love Philadelphia. And man, the food. I know we're a food town, but wow, some good stuff.
Yep.
Well, I love that. I love the description. And this is from you, isn't it? This is, for many years, we've worked to create a sense of family. We're a workplace. However, we want an environment that is warm, welcoming, and creative, and where people can interact professionally and personally. That's from John Boyd, again, the chairman and CEO of Klein and Hoffman. I'm going to start looking for your signs on buildings, because often when there's construction going on, you got your signs out there, don't you?
A few, maybe.
Put a couple out there. Yeah. Let us know it's you. You know? Oh, I heard them on WGN Radio. Yeah. Well, I'd love to have you both back in sometime. Let us know what project you're working on. Maybe, you know, we'll talk about a building and its history and where it's going.
Maybe
we could just do it like that. That'd be a lot of fun.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah, excellent. And if folks want to learn more about Klein and Hoffman, go to kleinandhoffman.com.
That'll work.
And thank you. I love the little and sign.
Well, it's Ampy.
It's a, oh, look
his, at, his name is Ampy.
Now, what is Ampy? Is this your mascot?
Yeah.
Well, Klein and Hoffman.
Yes.
We go by K and H, so he's just a little ampersand between our Ampy. Letters, and he goes by Ampy.
Oh, that's a lovely Ampy. It was wonderful having you both in studio, and I look forward to having you back.
Thanks so much.
Nice. Have nice a
great,
to be here.
Oh, wonderful. It was great to have you.
Thanks.
Thank no you. One ever, has ever brought their own lamp. We got lamps everywhere now.
Video. I know. That was so fancy.
More in a moment on 720 WGN. The last time we spoke to our good friend, my good friend, my one of my favorite people on the planet, Mona Amermachen, she was in South Africa, and we were collecting peanut butter.
Yes.
Her mother was on a peanut butter drive in studio yes. with us, and how did that project end up going?
We don't know.
Okay. For the food depository.
Yeah.
For the Chicago food depository.
We did good. We just kept it going so long, and then we haven't followed up. I've been doing so many other amazing things.
You know, do a nice thing, and don't... I would be like, so how'd I do? That's the way to do it. Do a nice thing, and let it live there.
Right.
And people benefit from it. Now you're doing comedy classes around the world.
Yeah.
Class Clown, and you've got a documentary about this as well.
Yeah,
You're busy.
Girl, I'm a Chicago kid. That's I can't...
Hustle.
Yeah, and no other city makes me happy the way Chicago does.
Then yet you keep leaving us.
I'm just going out telling everybody how great you are.
I know.
And I'd be coming home.
And it seems like you're just having a great time.
I am.
Yeah.
I am. I'm kind of, I think because of my education and my experience, I'm like the inverse of a startup. So it's like I get to retire now. Because I have so many, honestly, I'm managing talent now.
Oh,
international talent and management. Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
So I have clients from all the way in Dubai to Zimbabwe to South Africa.
I didn't
know
you were moving into management.
Because, you know, when I can't get representation, what does a Chicago girl do?
Well, I represent myself.
You're like, there you go.
Well, did you start representing yourself? I mean, did you call people and pretend to be somebody else representing Mona?
No, because again, I'm pretty smart. So I was kind of playing some chess moves. Where I went to my mentors, and my mentors kind of said, okay, well, figure it out. And then I realized, well, in certain situations, it's almost like a co-op. In certain situations, so my client is Saku Yanagawa, basically the Mona of Japan.
Okay.
When he's here, I represent him. When I'm there, he represents me.
Wow.
You see, like All when right. I'm in like Zimbabwe, Long John represents me. But when he's here, I represent him.
It's problem solving right here.
There you go.
Well, because the thing in comedy is that there are gatekeepers.
Right.
You're begging someone for something that you already do well, like for more exposure.
Right.
You know?
And one of the things that we do epically, you and I, we're great hosts.
Ah, there you go.
Right? And that's the one thing that's paid the worst in this country. And outside the United States, a headliner gets secondary to the host.
Well, and that makes sense. There are so many clubs, and I love my home clubs, but they often put the newest person up first, which is the hardest place because you have a cold audience. They haven't settled in. They haven't gotten used to the rhythm of the show. You have a comic who maybe talks to the audience too much or sets a tone that doesn't always lend itself to the rest of the show.
Right. The MC, the host, is the conductor of the funny in the room or on the airways. Like real talk, the host is the most important part of entertainment in this country, and we value it the least.
Isn't that strange?
Yeah, not anymore.
And yet, maybe that's why we haven't had an Academy Award host this year, because we no longer are sort of encouraging comics to be strong hosts.
Yeah. And you have to be, like, for me, I feel like if anyone said, Mona, like, who is your internal voice? I said, Don Rickles.
Oh boy.
He was the heckler. He could heckle a mobster, the president, and some broad in the audience, you know?
Right.
But it always came from love. And he died of old age. Patty, like, think about our comics, you know, like, come on, man.
We were just talking about Greg Giraldo a few weeks ago, and it was,
yes.
In our industry, I don't know if you find this to be true globally, because what I find my peers in comedy struggling with is that the highs are high in comedy. Like, you have that incredible sense of a great show, and you feel buoyed by it, and you feel like you're a rock star. And then when you have a bad show, it's hard to shake off.
Yeah.
You know, you're in your head, you beat yourself up about it. And the hardest thing to do is to live in the middle of it, to know that there's going to be another good show and there might be another bad show, and to just keep doing the job.
Yeah.
Do you find that to be true of comics in other countries?
Well, the comics in other countries have been mimicking us the whole time.
Uh-huh.
So every comic I interact with, they're like, I would do comedy, but it doesn't pay.
Oh.
I'm like, oh, word, because I'm getting my pizza tickets are like playing for this flight. Okay, I see you. The other component is that they're putting comedians on live television, or they're putting them on Showmax, which is South Africa's version of Netflix. They're putting them on literally the first time.
Oh, really?
On TV.
Yikes.
Isn't that kind of dangerous?
It seems like
it's really ruthless. So they've gotten so inflated with their confidence. When I'm down there, I'm checking them. I'm like, hey, that's not even funny. It's not about you being a woman. It's not about you being a man of color. It's that joke's not that funny. Right. You're just, watch your mouth. Watch what you say. And that's another thing that's happening in the States, is we're really getting, like, we're checking our motives. Because, listen, Patty, you know, you and I both know, we are modern day philosophers.
Right.
That's what the comic is. Something happened with us so young that we're cracked and we're observing society. And we got to run around the world telling the world about whatever it is in a funny way.
See. Yeah.
Right. Because we're observing society. We don't feel like we're part of it.
I know, and that's hard to explain to people. I see things that nobody, I hear and see and feel things that nobody else is, and then when I point it out to them, they can't not see it then, and it bugs them, and they're like, why'd you tell me that?
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't help it.
That's called woke, son.
It's just, like, I was at a town hall meeting, and someone kept saying, Illinois, and you shouldn't care, right?
No.
And I so, but I'm texting my friend next to me. I'm like, if he says Illinois one more time, I can't.
I used to be a limo driver, and there was a very, very famous, very wealthy man that's owner of one of our very important companies in this world. I was driving him, and he was with some broad, giving her wrong information about our landmarks.
Oh no!
Calling the John Hancock Building the Sears Tower.
No,
you know, like, he's like, and they're like, I'm like, and I was driving him to George Lucas's wedding, right?
Oh god!
And I'm like, I hate my DNA right now because I can't say anything. I'm a Chicago era Brit. I have to say something.
Oh my gosh! To put hilarious. This somewhere,
to put it, like, you have to have a little recorder. This guy, what's with this guy?
19. That's what I wish I was an old cabbie where I could be like, just, you know, talking into radio or something.
Yeah, they don't have radios, they don't need them anymore.
No.
Well, my dad and your dad both driving the cabs. My dad, Vivian, my dad was a cab driver for 50 years.
I think you mentioned that in one of your previous shows.
And her dad was old school, where, like, he showered. He knew where he was going.
Yeah. He was
it's crazy.
Rude to you in English. That was one of my jokes that I used to have. My dad was, did you get, like, stuff that people left behind in the cab when you were a kid?
My dad used to bring home people. My mom would come down and was like, wait, who's this lady passed out on the couch?
Oh,
and it's because
boy.
She was so drunk, he watched her get in her car and smash other cars. So he's like, listen, right here, I'm not going to do anything. Just sleep on the couch.
Yeah.
My mom would come. My mom would be like, man, I wonder who's going to be in the living room tomorrow. Because she's Mr. Savior.
My dad never brought anybody home. I did. No. I don't think my mom would have appreciated it either. Who's in my living room?
Because your mom's Hispanic, and that might have been, you know, the law. That's something's up. My mom's an innocent white girl from, you know, Illinois.
Right.
Oh, okay, so we're going to make her breakfast? Okay. Okay.
She's been going
cute.
Along.
How does she like her eggs?
I can see why your parents are divorced now. She's like, I made enough breakfast for strangers.
Right, for random strangers, yes.
I love your mom. I love your dad, too.
Isn't it funny how everyone knows my family, you know, like, now because of the radio, but they've never really seen them.
Yeah. Both of her parents were on the show with us when we were at the Tribune Tower, and her dad, like, showed up, an hour and a half late.
Yeah.
He had a passenger, maybe.
Right. It's Arabs, we show up late because we usually show up on camels. That's probably why we're always later than everybody
else. Oh, my goodness. Come on.
Always extra late.
I'm often late too. To my detriment, because I'm always thinking, it'll still be going on when I get there. And that's what he was thinking. He was like, she's on till 2 a.m. I can get there. And I'm like, no, but I have segments.
Either that or, my pops, he was downstairs listening to the radio station.
That's right.
Not coming in. Because he loved WG for that long.
Oh, yeah. No, I was I grew up on, you know, Bobby. On Billy, I was going to say Bob Collins. Bobby Collins is also a comic.
Yeah.
So it was in my head. But Roy Leonard and Wally Phillips, you know, my parents always had the radio on.
Kathy and Judy was the one that was always on.
Yeah, I love Kathy and Judy, yeah. I actually had a segment called Midnight Tease, which was an homage to their Sex Thursday.
Oh.
Because they would, but, you know, they're like your friends at the beauty salon talking about, you know, funny stuff in the magazines, whereas I was like, yeah, I got a little bit, and didn't have the soft touch that they had. No, let's put it that way.
Me and you, can you imagine this? somebody would have to have on the bleep button. If I went,
we had Melissa Dupre in last night.
Oh,
and Melissa is only once, but one time we had Melissa on, and we were talking about female parts, and that was probably the number one day of complaints I ever had on WGN Radio.
Oh, nice.
And I felt it was me and Melissa.
Yeah, well, I'm Muslim, so I don't even know my parts. So we'll just. So you're good. You're kosher.
I'll tell you
here.
About it during the break. More in a moment on 720 WGN. Ooh. Yeah. Oh, wait. Santana. Ding, 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 ding. Okay, Mona. Mona, you haven't been here since we have revealed. And it's just something I've known about myself, and I don't go into any detail, but it's Paul Farvar pushed me because he realized I have an appalling lack of musical knowledge. So randomly when I'm in a restaurant, I'll be like, oh, Pat Benatar. Everyone just looks at me like I'm crazy. I don't know what song, though. I just know Santana.
Smooth.
It's called Smooth?
It's called Smooth.
Yeah, remember, that was on heavy rotation in early 2000s.
Back?
That was heavy rotation. That and Cream Savers, those lifesavers that were cream and strawberry flavored. Those
Strawberry
and orange.
I love
those.
I love the memories that you're triggering there. Like
it's all tied to food. Always.
That's a good point. It's a strong sense.
Well, Patty, I'm just very proud of you for knowing this song.
Yes.
At least the artist.
Mona Abramershend joined us in studio. She's traveling all over the world performing comedy, teaching comedy classes, encouraging kids to be funny, to find their funny, to be brave, to be confident.
Yes.
And every Monday night, you can catch her show, The Riff, at the Comedy Bar, which is it in Geno's?
Yeah, it's third floor, 8 to 9.
Excellent. And I'll be stopping by.
Yes.
I'll stop by and do that. I need to work on some stuff. The comics have to pull a suggestion.
Uh-huh.
And then do a riff on it.
Yep, they do. We'll do 5 minutes.
Oh, boy.
They get a light. And one of the things I know is that the heavy comics that know their stuff, they don't start getting funny until like minute 3.
Yeah.
Because they're like on their head.
Oh, yeah. No, I believe it. I did a set one time where to make myself do new material, if I was doing an old joke, I had to stand on one foot.
I love that.
So it made the audience know. I would tell them, if I do an old joke, I'm going to stand on one foot. And it makes me not want to do that.
I love that. Patty, can I say something for real? From all of us here in the city of Chicago, all the comics, thank you for not leaving us.
Oh,
thank you for not leaving
Mona,
us.
I'm going to be honest with you. It's not like I didn't try.
It was meant to be, because really, there's so few of us have actually stayed.
Mm-hmm.
Because they bitch and moan about it, really, that, oh my God, there's no opportunities here in Chicago. I'm like, and where are you saying that from? You're saying that from LA. You're saying, create, stay. So thank you for being here. You're a leader for a lot of us.
Oh,
thank you.
Well, and here's the thing. As much as I tried to sell a sitcom, every time I would leave LA, I would never be like, oh, I wish I could stay. The goal was always to commute.
Yeah.
No, I would never. I would never leave Chicago. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, everybody, for those of you who hope I'm going somewhere. I'm going to punish you with my presence.
Yes, baby. Yes.
And Joe joined us on the line. Oh, you're on your cell phone, Joe. Hey.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, listen, much kudos to your guest. The first 2 minutes, I said, hey, that's Don Rickles.
Really?
Funny.
Yeah. But the next thing I could add to that immediately is, I don't know if you practiced this or whatever, but you sound to me sure as hell like, expletive, you sound like Martha Ray.
Oh.
So the perfect combination, Don Rickles, Martha Ray.
But was she hot?
Oh.
So I just want to make sure we're good on that.
Let me Google her
real quick. She had a great voice. She sounded hot. How's that?
Okay, thanks.
She was hot and funny as all get out.
All get out? I like that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to give up swearing for Ramadan, so I like all get out. She was funny as
I'll get out. Well, she wasn't afraid to make funny faces too. I mean, like here's an early photo of Martha Ray.
That's not the funny face.
She was a Milton Berle era.
I like that.
Yeah, no, she's fantastic.
Yeah.
There's a documentary out about Martha Ray too.
Thanks, Joe.
Perfect combination, kiddo.
Yay, thanks, sir.
That's a good one.
Very nice. Have a great night, Joe. Adios. There you go.
And
bilingual, too.
That's I like
making
that.
People happy at night. I know you should have taken the bet. We are hanging out in the Allstate Skyline studio. Mona Abramershend, whose website is?
MonaComedy.com.
MonaComedy. Well, you're hanging out for the show. We'll do some topics.
Thank
too,
you.
If you want. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Okay.
So when you travel, what do you miss about Chicago? Because you grew up, you've lived here your whole life, too.
Yeah. What do I miss? What I miss most, the first thing, and I think all Chicagoans, as soon as we land, Portillo's.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Isn't it weird?
Weird.
Take me to Portillo's stat.
Wow, that's your jam?
Yeah.
Interesting. What's your favorite thing on the menu? Because Paul Farvar orders everything on the menu when he goes on a first date with somebody. If they've never been to Portillo's, he orders everything so they can try. They have like a little
Portillo's
buffet.
So that's the first and last date, I'm assuming, right? Because come on. Wait, you know what? He does it on the first date. That means he does this a lot because he's not lasting.
He's got a three-month moratorium. Oh, you know, okay. His singles only podcast. It's on his brand.
Oh,
you know?
Oh, he has to be single. Oh, okay.
Yeah, he has to be single.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So Portillo's. What's your item that you got to order?
Okay, so I get there and I get the chicken chop salad without the bacon. I get cheese fries, extra cheese.
Oh my God.
I get one tamale. I get a Chicago style dog, okay, and I get a Sprite.
Okay, are you sure you're not ordering the whole meal? You should go eat with Paul sometime.
Dear Paul, my name is Mona at monacomedy.com at netflix.org. So please, yeah, I'll go with you.
And he gets the Italian beef, the hot dog, the chocolate cake shake.
Oh, chocolate cake, dude, he has an eating disorder. That's like he just drank this like terminal. I mean, come on, a chocolate.
See, have you tried it?
No.
I would share that with you. We should share one. Yeah, all right.
Maybe a listener will come in right now and deliver. No, I won't do that.
Quick side note. Yes. Did you guys know that the secret ingredient?
Mm-hmm. Mayonnaise.
Dang. Okay. Well,
welcome
never
to
mind.
Chicago, baby. Welcome to Chicago. I've been here.
Now, and interestingly enough, about 10 years, I used to be a regular guest on Steve Cochran's show, and I would come every Thanksgiving because he would fill in for Spike Odell in the morning. So, I would say about 10, 12 years ago, I was about to say that on the air, and he turned my microphone off. Because,
no way.
Yeah, he's like, you can't say that on the air. You can't give away their secret. Now, everyone knows.
Oh, thank God.
And
okay. Because now I just felt bad.
I didn't say it. You guys said it. But I mean,
thanks, Patty.
It's all right. I got Arabs
that.
On the south side, right, guys? Right?
I got Greeks. Let's go.
We got hummus. You know what? Probably hummus is actually the secret ingredient, and no one wants to talk about it because
it's probably
America wants hummus and everything. Like, yeah, or yogurt.
Now here's the thing. Mayonnaise is just olive and eggs. Olive oil and eggs.
Right.
It's fine.
Right.
It's just that people think of it as a condiment for their sandwiches. They
Americans.
Americans?
Because everybody mayonnaise. Else, Greece, right?
That's right.
Yeah, Greece. Listen, by the way, you spent too much in the Olympics, so stop putting Greek yogurt in everything. It's getting real weird. I went down that cereal aisle with Honey Bunches of Oats with Greek yogurt. I'm like,
yeah.
Why? I'm going to milk later.
because an article came out, an article after article, about how healthy Greek yogurt was, and it became the new, like...
I'm blaming her.
Stop bashing Greek yogurt.
It's not going anywhere. I'll tell you that
Dannon
right now.
Was fine. It was fine. Mm-hmm. Now it's Robitussin with Greek yogurt. It's like, come on, man. Jolly Ranchers, Greek yogurt flavored. Ugh. Tzatziki, come on. Everybody tone it down.
Oh, tzatziki's the best.
Right?
It is. It's really good for you, too.
This one.
Tzatziki is?
Yeah, it is.
How is tzatziki? Is it
because
yogurt?
Because you have a T and a Z and an S all right after each other.
Yes, and.
It's tzatziki.
Am I saying it right?
Tzatziki, guys. It's tzatziki.
Tzatziki?
Da.
It's like, a T, though.
I know, but it's the T and the Z.
Actually,
the T and the Z make
a
duh
like
sound.
It's that really one letter that looks like it's an upside down unicorn.
Yeah, what letter is that?
T and a Z makes a duh sound.
Okay.
So it's tzatziki.
Tzatziki.
Yeah, there you go. You did it.
Tzatziki.
Yeah, tzatziki.
That's why he never gives me extra tzatziki sauce, cause I
because
I keep saying it
because you can't pronounce it.
Well, also, my guy, I love my gyro guy, right? And I've been going there for 15 years, and he's always there no matter what time of day you go. This guy is running the business, and is it Gyro King or King Gyros? It's King, there's a king,
yeah.
And he's got a you know,
yeah, 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 yeah.
It's at Milwaukee and Foster, and he, but every time I come in there, he's like, hello, my friend. And I forget what I came in for because we just started having a conversation. We catch up with each other.
He doesn't even normally talk like that. He's like, hey, this broad over here, every time she walks in,
imagine.
By the way, our listeners are texting in. I'm with you on Portillo's all the way. Hugs and kisses,
yay,
from the 630. The 219 says lemon cake shake is even better.
Ooh,
at Portillo's.
Bang, bang.
Do you like the lemon cake?
Listen, is there like kid size? Remember those kid size Frosties? I can mess with that. But a full on grown, that's 3 days out. That's bubble guts. That's a commitment.
The 301 says your guest is very funny and Chicago is lucky to have you.
Oh, yay! Yes.
A lot of love tonight. This is so different than last night. That's
a
break.
Oh, my
I'll
gosh.
Tell Mona about last night in a minute.
Yes, please.
Okay. More after this on 720 WGN. Mona Abermishon every Monday night at the doing the riff,
yes,
at the Comedy Bar.
Yes, yes.
At Gino's, third floor.
Yes.
So you get pizza?
Yeah.
Do you get paid? Do we get paid in pizza?
We do get tickets. We do get tickets. Usually they're drink tickets, but I like to encourage comedians, especially if they're hungry, to not use the alcohol. Yeah. And consider having some food.
Well, that's the thing about comedy, is that it's always been considered part of the pay is to have drinks. And that's right. That's rough for a lot of people.
Well, that's actually a loaded gun.
Yeah.
A hungry philosopher on alcohol.
Know when you want to come in too, you know. Don't wait for me. I have to keep telling comics that. Just tell me you want to come. I've told you this before. Just I was glad that I saw a post of yours. I'm like, why? Where's Mona? Why you're back in town?
I'm going to be back all summer.
All summer? All
right. Yeah, and I've got a big thing up my sleeve for my birthday.
Oh, that's right. I think I saw a posting about that. I know people have been. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Will there be yogurt there?
This one. Greeks always got to sneak up, right? No, listen, I didn't hear your silent BMW. How did I know you were here?
Tzatziki. Hello, my friend Mona. What do you want for your birthday?
So what I want for my birthday is I'm envisioning and I'm creating and I'm talking about so much is I would like a big deal, Willy Wonka style, golden ticket handing out. New Year's Eve party at Bloomers, chocolate, whatever. I just want a big fundraiser, bringing awareness to kids' comedy, kids, and maybe even hunger. We'll get the Chicago Food Depository in, but I really want a New Year's Eve bash.
That's Mona Amramishan planning her birthday for New Year's Eve.
I'm turning 40, yo. I'm going to be 40 all year, so it's my whole birthday year.
I love that.
Right?
So 2020 is your whole birthday year, or no. is it 19?
Yeah, so I was born in 79.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Hi.
March 20th. Hey, how's it going? I'm 40, yo. I make this look good.
Where did you grow up, Mona?
I grew up on Addison. I was born in Addison and Racine.
Uh-huh.
Then I went to high school at in Des Plaines. I went to Maine East, where Miss Rodham Clinton went.
That was the school that my parents were going to lie about our address to try to get me into, which you're not supposed to do.
Really?
And they didn't. I ended up at Lane Tech. But that was, my parents wanted me to go there.
Really? My parents wanted me to go to Lane Tech.
My parents were very confused about what they wanted. Did they move to Des Plaines so you go to school there?
Yeah, because where I was at, I was over on in Albany Park. That high school, Roosevelt High School, was kind of shady back in the day.
It was
the 80s. It was kind of shady. It was everywhere. It was like the Joe Clark School.
I had to swim in their pool. They had a very I was a swimmer. So I would have swim meets at other schools. That's how you rate an entire school, is just how.
Can you smell? Do you get flashbacks when you smell chlorine?
Oh yeah, chlorine. Yeah. Well, I was a lifeguard too. So I was in the water pretty much from the age of 5 years old till I was 22.
You're right. Your parents were confused because you know it's Chicago, right? I'm just going to make sure we're in Chicago, not we're like
I was a good swimmer.
Florida.
That was the one thing I had, was I was a good swimmer.
Okay, cool.
Did you? Because I studied swimming at. Did you ever take swimming classes?
I didn't study swimming.
I know. I said I was at Northeastern Illinois University studying swimming.
Actually go to Northeastern?
My mother was in school there, so she would drop me off, and I had swim lessons there and stuff. Yeah.
Really? You know, I think we might be twins because my parents went to Northeastern.
Really?
Yes. My mom finished her master's there. My father went there to get his master's, and he also went to North Park.
Oh, really?
He has a master's in philanthropy. Nice. And then I went there. I started off, and I'm like, yeah, cool. This is cool. I like Northeastern a lot. It was super diverse.
Yeah.
And then I did 2 years at Loyola.
Okay.
And then I did my master's at DePaul. So basically, I just got to round it out with going. Yeah. I'm going to go to Northwestern, UFC, and I'm done.
Sample it. Yeah. Get it all done.
Get my doctorate.
I've been thinking about getting my law degree.
Really? Tell me.
I'm thinking about it.
That's because of Farvar, dude. It's Farvar. He's spreading it.
No, he's getting out of law. Why would he would not encourage me.
What would you want your law degree in? Do you want to do entertainment law? Because I might need entertainment law.
Oh, maybe I'll do entertainment law. I might do like election lawyers, I think, make a lot of money in Chicago, don't you think?
Really?
All the politicians here getting in all kinds of.
With those eyebrows you just raised, I think you're fit for the job, my friend. She's eyebrowing me side-eye Chicago style. I like you.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be a civil rights attorney.
Oh, okay.
So, I don't know. Well, I'll see. It'll take me a long time to do.
You think? But, well, you're a comic, right?
Right.
Remember, comic is the court jester. That's the only one that could call the king out on his stuff.
Exactly.
So you're prime. Now you just got to get that old JD thing out the way.
We'll see. Yeah, let's figure it out.
I think there's somebody listening here who can get us an honorary law degree to be Patty Vasquez.
No, I want a real one.
Okay,
so you went to Northeastern Illinois University, and then you went to Loyola. What were you studying at Northeastern?
I studied, I was chemistry major and French minor.
What?
Yeah.
Just covering all your bases.
Yeah.
So you could philosophize about the periodic table, I guess.
It fascinated me. Chemistry fascinated me. And then I got into Loyola, and I had a chemistry teacher that sat me down. And, you know, sometimes there are horrific teachers that really set you on your path. He sat me down, and I hope he's listening right now.
Yeah.
He said, you need to just leave college.
What?
Yeah, just get some English degree and just get out of here.
What is that?
No leadership. So I have, and I guess out of spite.
Yeah, you stayed?
No, out of spite, I stayed. Then I went and got a master's in international development urban planning with my master's in post-apartheid urban planning from Namibia. I bet that guy didn't even know what a Namibia was.
I bet you not. You know why? Because he stayed.
He stayed.
Maybe he needed to get out.
He did. What? I think that maybe he was writing me a code.
What is that?
Leave here. This is too expensive for you, little girl.
Oh, boy.
So, no, I showed him.
Yeah.
I'm a comedian now. Did. I'm making $50. Yeah. I owe Sally Mae. I'm just saying my name isn't a full Mona Abramishan. It's not my full government name, Sally Mae, in case you're listening.
Did your parents move back from Des Plaines to the city, or are they still?
No, I did. I did. My mom moved in. She lives over on South, what's it called? South Loop.
Okay.
And then my dad still lives over by O'Hare.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is he still driving the cab?
No, he's doing that. Remember, he's doing he's charity philanthropy in the South.
Oh,
side.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. He's in the Middle East now giving away scholarships for kids.
What? Look at your family staying busy helping people.
My sister's in the UN with Juba in South Sudan. And my other sister, the youngest one, she's a sound engineer and she works like South by Southwest in Austin. So.
Oh, cool.
We're an interesting family.
Yeah, you're all over it. I've never been to Austin.
It's cool.
I bet you love that.
It's like professional hippies. They're very
professional. They major in it.
They do. They're like, listen, we're gonna have organic yogurt.
Look at me.
Not like, from Greece.
Yeah. Yogurt.
Yogurt.
I'm just gonna keep on bringing that up.
Tzatziki. Yeah. You know, I thought about getting a tattoo, getting like a chickpea tattooed on me. Because it's such a powerful legume right now.
It is. It's a very healthy legume.
Yeah.
Good for you. You can make it so many different ways.
This is fun.
Put it on your salad.
I'll bring you guys a menu next time.
No.
From where?
From like ways you can incorporate peas. We have a lot of
Wait, what?
Peas?
Wait, like
peas?
You mean chickpeas?
Chickpeas.
Yeah, didn't you just say peas? Yeah. No, chickpeas. There you go. Yeah, but I'm just
called peas?
Peas. Yeah.
But I think of green peas when I think of peas. Not chickpeas. You go right to chickpeas.
Oh, sorry, I was thinking of the chickpeas. Green ones.
She's getting hungry.
I'm so hungry. I really am.
I have some Snicker bars over here. I have the 50% off Easter.
I'm still fasting, Patty, remember?
Are you?
Oh, that's right. How long
if we take this candy and light it on fire, is it gonna remind you of Saganaki?
Oh, I love Saganaki.
Why would you bring that up right now, honestly? Why would you do that? That's so good.
It is really good. What's it? What's the one where it's like all the intestines and like the sweetbreads, like the liver and?
Okay, that's called majirita.
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 Yeah, I'm not gonna try
my stomach.
It's so good. You don't like meat?
No, I don't like that. I don't like the insides of an animal. I like the outsides. Keep insides inside.
So no menudo. No menudo for you.
No, thank you.
Majirita.
No
Margarita.
Yeah. That and a nice glass of Mavrodaphne.
Mavrodaphne, yes. Yeah,
I know some of my
do you guys want to leave you alone? I don't know.
You know what? Let's take a moment. Patty, continue.
All right. Well,
falafel and shawarma.
I like shawarma. Shawarma's good.
I love shawarma.
I love falafel, too. What do you like to dip your falafel in, or do you just... Do you put a sauce on your falafel?
This is the family show.
I didn't mean to get personal on you. What do you dip in your falafel in?
Oh, you know, just, when I go and I have Arabic food or Greek food, I go bananas on garlic sauce.
Garlic sauce, yeah.
Yo, like the garlic aioli. Basically, you don't want to see me go in and you're going to smell me go out, coming out.
Yeah.
And for at least 3 days in yoga, it's like, oh, it smells like hot garlic. Me, thank you.
My husband keeps telling me, he's begging me to accept that garlic is not a food group. Because I use it in everything.
Yes.
It's like so
if
good.
If a recipe calls for one, I put four.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I walked in here today. I don't know if you smelled me, Vivian, but
no.
I reek of garlic. Yeah, a lot of garlic.
Of course we didn't smell you.
Yeah, come smell me.
We're basically descendant of Ottoman. Of course we're not going to smell you. We're like, yes, who? What fragrance
is that?
What is
that amazing smell?
It's Greek town.
Well, that's the thing in Chicago. If you live in an apartment building, you can tell, like, you feel like you're in the UN. You're I have an Indian neighbor.
Yes.
I have a Greek. You can tell by the spices are that are wafting through the hallways, you know? And if you have carpeting that lines those hallways, I mean, that's generations of cooking.
It's like a skillet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there really are some ethnic. I mean, you walk into a building, you're like, oh, someone's like, actually, my house. My husband's going to listen to this and be like, how about downstairs? Yeah. My mom makes oily fish.
Really?
You know, she uses a lot of onions, a lot of garlic.
My favorite smell, really, it's like when I smell butter and onions.
Oh
my gosh.
Yeah.
Yes. The stuff that's a perfume, I would wear that perfume.
It's if my husband will walk into the kitchen and go, whatever the recipe called for, I think you did too much. Let's take a break here. More after the 720W. What do you cook that your family
yogurt
doesn't?
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
To our audience, what do you cook? Your own? Do you make your own yogurt?
No. My boyfriend would love that though, but no.
I saw
is
her
your boyfriend,
boyfriend
Greek.
He is.
What, did you have a happy family?
Oh boy.
Let's take a break here.
312-981-7200. What's the one dish that you make that your family's like, oh no, open all the windows? More after this on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200. Oh, gazpacho's good too, but it doesn't make the house smell. Just my breath and my skin. My hair.
My big fat Greekwood.
Are we dancing this? Or am I dancing?
Yeah, you guys are doing a great job.
Am I supposed to be shaking these?
I feel like we should be recording this.
Hi. Oppa! Now I definitely have to have some Avrodaphne.
Oh, yes.
Or ouzo. I don't really drink the ouzo.
Ouzo is strong.
Yes. I like Sambuca better.
Sambuca?
Have you ever had Sambuca?
Mm-mm.
It's a licorice liqueur.
Is it?
But it's not as strong, but it's pretty strong. It's also a little syrupy. All right. We're talking about cooking and maybe some, you know, aromatic instances where maybe the rest of your family is not as keen to participate in that consumption. And from the 815, when I cook Coney Island sauce, my wife leaves the house. What's Coney Island sauce?
I don't know, but it sounds good.
Is it, or is it dirty? I don't know.
You found a bomb passed
what
out.
What is a Coney Island sauce? I have to Google this now. We call this segment Googling with Patty Vasquez.
Oh, is it? Is it like the Jersey Shore pickle?
I don't know.
I just made that up. I don't know what that is. I don't know.
Coney Island sauce. I should have asked, I should have just gone, hey, Google, what's Coney Island sauce? But there's a recipe for it. It is four grilled hot dogs, obviously. Mustard, vinegar, sugar, water, Worcestershire sauce, celery seed, hot pepper sauce, and ketchup. That is the, and some people put cumin, cayenne pepper. This sounds really good.
So it's like a currywurst, like currywurst sauce.
Yeah, that sounds
like in
great.
Germany they have on the fest.
We have Clyde on the line joining our conversation. We're hanging out in the Allstate Skyline Studios with Mona Ambermishan. You can go to monacomedy.com and catch her every Monday night at the comedy bar at Gino's. She hosts The Riff.
Yes, yay.
And I'll be joining you sometime too, working on new material. Hey, Clyde, what do you want to say?
Hey, I used to have a girlfriend whose mom used to cook corned beef and cabbage.
Yes.
Yes.
And once she started cooking that cabbage, you just had to leave the house.
Yes. Yep. It's a good thing you didn't stay, because imagine how it smells after you've eaten it, Clyde.
No, I know. I just said, that was their big family dinner, and I would occasionally go over, but I would come up with some excuse not to stay for dinner that night.
The smell of the boiled cabbage. Oh, man. Thank you for sharing that
love
memory.
Your show.
Thank you, Clyde. Love you, too.
All right, thanks.
Have a good
all
night. Right. Yeah, there's certain things that you're like, oh, look at the time. Probably.
Do you know what my mom used to cook for my pops? Remember, this is back in the day, all right? This is back in the day. We have a white American, British American woman marrying an Arab. So my mom says, Mona, the thing that your dad used to love, and I would make it look beautiful, and I would take you, and we were gone. And it was lamb heads.
Oh.
I can relate to that.
Thank God. I was worried I was going to kick it off the radio.
No.
Yep. Over a bed of rice with lots of lamb and sauce.
Yeah, and we would eat the lamb's eyeballs because it would give you the strength. It would give you, additional
of
brain cells. Yeah.
Oh, is that true?
It's very, look at me. I'm so smart.
You're very smart.
She's the only one over there. Besides that.
I mean, now I have to Google this. Hold on a second. Hey, Google.
What's a very scary Palestinian/Greek dish that looks at you when you're eating it?
Eating eyeballs makes you smarter or makes you grow brain cells?
Hold on. Didn't you call, or weren't you bringing up sweetbreads? Just because we don't have a fancy word for a patty bag, guys. All right? Let's call it contacts.
Okay, contacts for dinner. I have to eat the eyeballs. So, okay, fine. I'll eat the eyeballs.
By the way,
my,
Yes.
My Easter is on Sunday, so I'll just bring you some.
It's her Easter.
Some eyeballs?
Mm-hmm. Some eyeballs.
Well, our friends from the Chicago Culinary Kitchen, from CCK, by the mm-hmm. way, they have a new food truck, and we need them to come down here and bring us food. But they once brought us pig cheeks. So they had like the side of the pig's face on these trays.
Oh.
And they flip it over and you eat out the pig. And the tacos were amazing. It was pig cheek tacos.
Wow.
Yeah, but they brought in like these trays of these pig's heads. Yeah. So I'll eat it. I don't necessarily know if
I can pull the Muslim card on that one, right? I can still pull the Muslim one. But I didn't get the lamb thing, but the pig.
But the, yeah, the lamb.
I mean, because I got cute cheeks.
You do have really cute cheeks. You do. I don't want to eat them. I'm just saying you have really cute cheeks.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, I'm not saying I wouldn't eat them. I'm saying I won't eat. I don't know. The two.
You did this. You broke the eyeballs.
I'm sorry. I'm going to just sit here and just.
The 219 says that they can't stand the smell of Brussels sprouts being cooked.
Oh, yeah.
Or no, maybe their family can't stand the smell of the Brussels sprouts.
And those are just what? Small cabbages.
Yeah, Brussels sprouts. The Purple Pig does this broiled, roasted Brussels sprouts. And I think that they crisp them so much they no longer taste like Brussels sprouts.
Yeah.
They taste like oil and garlic.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fine. But for the most part, I can't stand Brussels sprouts.
What's your favorite vegetable that you would eat?
My favorite vegetable that I could eat all the time. I never really think about it.
French fries don't count.
That's fine. I've been eating a lot of lately is cauliflower, mashed cauliflower, yeah. Roasted cauliflower, and there are restaurants that are doing like buffalo popcorn cauliflower instead of doing your buffalo chicken. They do the same sauce. I like that a lot.
I love broccoli.
I'm not a fan of broccoli.
And it smells really bad too.
That's the thing.
It smells really bad.
I'll come into the house because Steve often makes broccoli for the boys, and I'll be like, "Are you changing a diaper or are you making dinner?" Which is not what somebody wants to hear when they are making dinner for everybody in the house.
Yeah.
Taco Real in Hammond, Indiana makes the best pig cheek taco. So
I guess that's
Taco
a thing.
Real. Yeah. Yeah, it's a thing. I'm just making it up about the Chicago.
I mean, you're like, hey, can I get two pig cheek tacos and horchata? Like, I don't know if that was a thing. You could order that.
Okay. I like how you squeeze horchata in there.
Horchata, because I'm not stupid, okay?
Horchata's the best. A lot of sugar.
Yeah, it is.
Really,
you take a nap. A lot of Chicago foods, you need a nap later.
Oh, it's true.
A lot of Chicago foods. Like, you said Italian beef. From Portillo's, I don't just go Italian beef on the bread. I do Italian beef on a croissant with cheese. Who does that? That you're done for the day.
At Portillo's?
Yeah.
Their chicken sandwich on a croissant is amazing.
Anything on a croissant.
I was like, I couldn't stop looking. I was like, okay, this is amazing.
Anything.
And my car smelled like buttery croissant for days. The chicken was great.
Croissants. I don't know. You can put an old Buick on a croissant. I would eat it.
Oh my God.
I wonder what the calorie count is. Do you believe the calorie count on the menu boards? I mean, I don't know if there's any, because it said that the croissant was less calories. The chicken on a croissant was less calories than the chicken on a bun. And I don't know, is it more airy?
I think so. Isn't croissant like just really thin layers of butter?
Sort of, yeah. See, that's not great.
That's a happy day. Listen,
it is a happy day.
Take away my joy. I would put cheesecake, Ellie's cheesecake, on a croissant. I would eat it.
Croissant cheesecake. They should make the crust out of the croissant.
Yeah.
Come on. That would be really good.
We should have our own cooking show.
And just talk about the things that are really good.
We're not going to make anything. We got a gas station diet, all right? 7-Eleven, because we're comics. We eat late at night.
What can we make with a bag of chips, a Slim Jim?
And yogurt.
And yogurt. I'm sure that yogurt will come up, and apparently I've been told that there's a Nordic yogurt that we all should be paying attention to called Skyr. It doesn't compete with Faye.
It's just Greek yogurts.
We'll find out.
Listen, I grew up with Greeks. They said there's only two types of people. Those are Greek, and those who want to be Greek.
Really?
Boom.
She
said it.
See?
Okay, we'll discuss this during the news because we've got to catch up with what's going on in the world. Evermichen has finally come to stay a little bit in Chicago. She's been traveling around the world teaching comedy classes, and she's got a documentary called Class Clown that she's working on.
Thanks.
You can catch her on Monday nights at the Comedy Bar hosting The Riff and debating the ups and downs, the ins and outs, and the value of Greek yogurt.
Hey, it's valuable. Don't make Zeus mad.
No,
that's right.
Zeus mad.
We want to keep him happy.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to mythology,
mm-hmm.
what did you have some favorites, like some of your favorite stories?
You know what's funny? I'll tell you this. When I was in high school, I would put all of the names like of my family members,
mm-hmm.
I would put them under from the gods. So like Zeus would be my mom, my dad would be Hercules, and my sister would be Medusa.
No. Dear sister, are you listening right now?
She's up. Snake hairs.
Yeah. So it's funny because when I moved to Chicago, I didn't speak English. And when I was in third grade, in the process of learning English, we had mythology. We had a class. And I felt like, oh my God, this is great.
I'm going to know all this.
I know all of this stuff.
They're like Greek cartoons that you took with you.
Yeah.
Greek superheroes.
They are.
Did you, did all the other classmates, they were like looking to you for all the answers? Or
yeah, they're like, how do you say Medusa? And I'm like, Medusa.
See, now, do you watch any of the comic book movies, like the Aquaman or Wonder Woman? Because they're bringing in the mythology more than I knew about the comic book heroes growing up, because I didn't read the comic books. But they're gods.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman is a goddess.
Yeah, that's true. Is she?
Yeah.
You know what? We don't have any of that stuff.
Are you kidding? The quinceañera? Please, I did not have a quinceañera. You know why? Because my mom was like, you know, Jew will have a sweet 16 birthday. And then I would turn 16, and she's like, oh, I should have given Jew a quinceañera.
So what do you then?
Do you have a version of something? Do the Greeks have versions of something like that, where it's like a birthday for girls? Like there's bat mitzvahs, there's quinceañeras. Does the Greeks have something like that?
No.
How about like I remember I had a friend who grew up in Jacksonville, and they had this Beaux-Arts ball where it's like you present the women to society.
They
wear like these pretty gowns and stuff. Debutantes. Yeah.
Do you know what we have? You know what Arabs have?
What do you have?
Weddings. No, you're not getting a bat mitzvah. You're getting a husband. Oh, next. Yes, she's laughing. She's like, oh, Mona, I dodged the bullet.
If you're in the village in Greece, then yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You're getting married at like 16.
Yeah. It's like, hey, why are you so old over there with 19?
Yeah.
Why are you showing off? The old lady at 20. You're an old lady.
That's so true.
Oh, man.
I was dodging the bullet. Thank God that I was almost 300 pounds. I was dodging.
Oh, my God.
I'm cute now. I'm like, nah, you're going to come to me, son.
So who in your family, I mean, because your mom didn't necessarily follow the practices of your father's family.
No, but yeah, but she converted back before the whole 9/11 thing. She was Muslim?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
See, like our kind of Islam pre-9/11, especially in Chicago, it's like, yeah, okay, that's Muslim. She's a Jew. She's Greek. Go to school. Like,
right.
It wasn't that thing. I mean, I used to get more religious than anyone else. It was like, no, you're Muslim. That's it. Or Muslim or whatever it is. Like we celebrated Christmas. I'm like, hey, Pop, shouldn't we be like doing the whole Ramadan thing? He's like, yeah, fine, mm-hmm. we're fasting.
So the defining line was 9/11?
It really was. It changed America. And one of the things I call out Muslims on, I say, you guys are the only ones saying Islamophobia. Muslims. So cut it out. You're making it weird, bro. America was cool. Granted, there were some pockets that were real KKK-esque, okay? But in general, especially for Chicago Muslims, I'm an old cat, right? 70s, 80s kids. We were Muslim. Yeah, you fasted, then you did your thing. It wasn't so creepy. And I just, ugh. And everybody else made it weird for American Muslims. American Muslims felt like we were just normal.
Well, because I remember there were a couple movies that came out before 9/11. There was a Denzel Washington movie about these terrorist cells. I mean, and there was a little bit after the first attack on the World Trade Centers.
Yeah, the big one that shaped a lot of people was Not Without My Daughter. That had an impact on a lot of, especially if you were not brown and you're married a brown person and you're worried that your kid would be taken away and run away. That made a lot of marriages. I know that's really weird, but it's like, no, I'm going to stick with this one because you never know if it's a Non Without My Daughter thing.
Right.
But, yeah, but everything else, I didn't really feel different until after 9/11. And I was raised as a Palestinian Muslim, and I was went to school in Chicago in some of the suburbs. It wasn't like, oh, you're a terrorist. Mm. It wasn't that way before 9/11.
Wow. Yeah, well, did you ever see Ray Hanania? He was doing comedy.
Yeah, I know. Ray's like a family friend.
And he would talk about and I think it was pre-9/11, he would talk about how he would go on stage and say, hey, I'm not a terrorist. I mean, there were some jokes about it, but it wasn't necessarily as immediate and intense as it was after 9/11.
And he's, you know what? He's one of the mavens. He's a forward thinker, a visionary in our community, because he was doing stand-up before anybody else, and he's married to a Jew. So, like, back in the 80s, like, whoa, this guy's like a rebel. Look at this guy, a Semite marrying a Semite. Oh, my God.
Do you remember, do you know how he got in trouble at Zany's?
No.
He was opening for Jackie Mason.
Oh.
This is something I don't think I've ever told this story. I opened for Jackie Mason at Zany's. I was hosting downtown, and then I hosted for him at the Vernon Hills Club.
Mm-hmm.
And he was coming back through on his tour, and he said, are you going to be here when I come back in the summer? And I said, no, I'm going to be on the road. So I was actually doing a tour in South Dakota. I know. Don't
Show
be jealous.
Off. God.
I know. I was in Rapid City. I was living the life. And then I was supposed to do the second week in Minot, North Dakota. But I had a little bit of a conflict with the booker who was not paying for everything. And I was like,
See
you know
how
what?
Diplomatic you are.
I know.
Because yeah, you're on the
jipping
radio.
Me, jipping me. So I called him and I said, I'm going home. When I got home, Linda Moses from Zany's called me. It was a Monday. And she goes, hey, are you in town this week? And I said, yeah. She goes, we need you to open for Jackie Mason. Well, what Ray had done was started promoting the show as a Jew and a Palestinian sharing the stage together. Well, now Jackie Mason is a big draw within the Jewish community, and they were like, we don't want to come to this show.
Wow.
He was promoting it, but it wasn't necessarily, and it was so funny because I've heard Ray tell the story. It wasn't his show to promote that way. Do you know what I mean? Like, he was the MC. It was just a two-person show, and it was Jackie Mason's show.
Yeah, you're just the opener, kid. Turn it down. You're making it weird.
It's hard to explain to people, but it became an international story. You can Google it.
Really?
Yeah, Jackie Mason and there were, like, CNN trucks. There was a Tribune photographer taking a picture of my headshot because I had been the comic that replaced Ray, and I was standing right behind him, and I was like, they put in the article was Ray Hanania was replaced by a local Latina comic, and I was like, Patty Vasquez, that's who.
Me. I'm right behind you.
Yeah, so that was
amazing. Wow, I mean, think about it now. Nowadays, it's normal. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, you have Palestinians that are doing comedy. I mean, I'm one of the producers, co-producers of the only Palestinian comedy festival that goes on in the West Bank. In Jerusalem, Palestine, and Bethlehem every year. And so we get to do it again. This year again, we're going to have another Jew on there. And it's like, stop making it such a big deal.
Well, this was 1 year after 9/11.
Yeah,
it would have been 2002.
Oh, yeah. That was kind of close.
Yeah, a little bit. Well, a little bit.
I thought you meant it was like 87.
No.
Right, that was too soon, bro.
Yeah, right.
Come on.
On the line, we have a listener calling in. Hey, Paul, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, great talking to you guys. Here's what I'll tell you. The reality is that the world's missing more sarcasm like you folks have. So, yeah, this is you, you know, just in general. Sarcasm makes the world go round.
But I love that.
What's sad is that, I really, if you look at other cultures, the sarcasm is so absent. It's so black and white. It's like, what do you mean, dude? What do you mean, dude?
You know,
are you trying to offend me? No, I'm not trying to offend you. But it's so stark in the essence that after 9/11, sarcasm was absent.
Yeah.
Well, and we need to rebuild that trust that began before 9/11 because it's so important, you know? I mean...
Yeah, well, the thing about comedy is that it comes from a place, it sounds disrespectful to people because you're breaking a lot of the rules, right? You're pointing at something that people are like, oh, we shouldn't talk about those things. Mm-hmm. And that's not easy across cultures.
It isn't.
Yeah.
And I agree with you.
And the sad part about it is that comedy really can create a safe haven for... almost self-deprecation, if you will, right?
Yep.
To where you can say, I understand you. Okay, let's build it. Let's build a consensus to laugh about it and then see if we can come to some middle ground.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, 9/11 was like a drawing, like a delineation to say, oh, man, why'd you do that?
Right. What were you going to say, Mona?
I was going to say is that, you know, what's interesting is that, Paul, you're right. Around the world, outside, the thing is that Chicagoans, we take for granted our sarcasm, our smart mouth. Outside, I find that people want to know the truth, but they want to give it to them nicer. That's why they're watching Trevor Noah's and John Oliver's, is they're trusting kind of the comedian to tell the truth. And because I'm a sassy broad that looks like J-Lo, and I sound like the getaway driver of a heist, whatever I'm saying, so long as I'm not talking politics, my body, right, or religion,
right,
and I just
right.
talk, they're like, dude, I like this chick. I'm like, I know, me too.
Well, that's the point, is that you got to be able to be able to beat the pedal to the fact that I think you're telling me the truth.
Right.
Because you're laughing about it.
And right.
If you can laugh about things, then you can break down at least just the initial barrier to say, you know what, let me think about if you're telling me the truth or if this is serious.
Yeah.
And if you can laugh about it first, then you're going to break it down.
Absolutely.
And I really believe that if we had more sarcasm, That's a very highbrow request, because sarcasm requires intelligence.
Right. And, it doesn't require, and acceptance of it.
You don't dig in on sarcasm. You don't. Because if you can be sarcastic, you can take it and you can give it.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah.
Hey, Paul, can I ask you a quick question? I got pulled over, and I'm not kidding. So let me tell you, if you tell me if this is a joke or if it's real. I got pulled over by a Metro cop. He pulled me over on Irving Park. He walked up to me, and I'm like, "What do you give me? One-way ticket to Deerfield?" I'm not kidding. How is the Metro of the audacity? That's get like getting pulled over by the postal cop. Even the mall cops got more rights.
He only got jurisdiction to like the lot line.
I think he just liked the fact he had a siren. The siren wasn't even a normal sign. I was like, woo, woo.
Well, you're not supposed to steal the caboose of a train there. How's the Metro? What did he want?
I think it was, you know what? I think it was payback, because I was driving slow, making fun of another person getting pulled over by a Metro cop. I'm like, right? Because I'm a comic. But of course, karma's like, God's like, hey,
you can't excuse
that.
You
want to laugh at somebody else? I got you. Don't make fun of someone walking Uggs in the middle of January or July. It doesn't matter. They're Uggs.
A Metro cop in January is pulling people over. He's got nothing to do. That's exactly
there it. You go. So, but he was a Metro cop, though.
During Lollapalooza, he's got tons of work.
Hold on a second. The Metro Police Department is a professional force of more than 100 sworn officers who are responsible for the security of Metro passengers, employees, equipment, yards, stations, and other Metro property. Metro Police.
Eddie, I appreciate that. I like that. Solid, solid evidence. Okay. let's move into the sarcastic part of the conversation.
Well, the thing about sarcasm is that people think that you're being, you know, that my dad always said, you know, you got a real smart mouth on you, which was because I was sarcastic.
Yeah.
And of course, I would say, well, I hope I'm smart. I go to school every day. And
right. I don't want a dumb mouth.
Exactly. I would get in trouble all the time.
Absolutely.
We got in a lot of trouble in grade school, didn't we?
Yeah. Oh, my mother. You know what my mom tried doing, Ma? If you're listening, I'm sorry. She tried to wash my mouth out with soap. Literally, she's like, you swear too much. Come here, take a bite of the soap, kid. And it was, remember the old ugly Dial? It wasn't even good soap.
Oh.
It wasn't even like Caress.
Or Irish Spring or something.
Oh, Caress. Yeah.
She shoved it in my mouth and said, bite. I'm like, no.
We're so alike, because my mom would take pepper and say,
that's cruel.
Yeah.
Though.
Yeah.
I had soap.
I'm like, but now it's funny because I love spicy foods. I'm like, thanks, Ma.
Yeah. And I'm like, and I got a dirty mouth. All right.
Dirty mouth. Yeah. Oh, man. Paul, thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you for the show. I love the refresh. It's such a great thing. And, thank you for putting your show on. Good night, girls.
Oh, appreciate it. Good night, Paul. Be well. Be safe. And from the 708, hey, Patty, this 58-year-old white guy is laying here giggling like a schoolgirl. These laughs are worth $1 million to me right now. Please have this guest on more often. And the more sarcastic, the better. Yeah.
Yay.
I don't know. I'm sorry it's been so long.
Hashtag Chicago style.
The whole menu at Portillo's.
Oh.
And yogurt. Oh, come on. More after this on 710 WGN.
This is the Patty Vasquez Show.
Follow me on Twitter, Patty Vasquez, CHI,
on 720 WGN.
Tell me something good. Tell me that you love me, yeah.
At the end of the day, no matter what happens, there's always something that can make you feel good, make you happy, something that you're proud of. It could be anything. And actually, you know what? I might change this up on you a little bit, Mona. I didn't tell you I was going to do this. With Kind Words is another segment I'm working on. And
I'm
working on it. Well, because I feel badly that I surprised you. You can tell me something good. But I also, I've been asking folks, like, what's the kindest thing anyone's ever said or done for you? And one of my favorite moments is watching someone think about something really wonderful, and their face just changes, whether it's somebody that, like, made a big difference in just their day. Like, we had somebody who was like, you know, I was getting ready for a big event, and someone remembered it was my birthday, and they made a cake for me and made sure it was, you know, like, and their face just, like, lights up with, like, a glow of just adoration. And like something they may not have even remembered for a while.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So I'm just saying. So if you can think of something.
I got one.
All right. What's one of the kindest things?
One of the kindest things that ever happened to me happened at my grandmother's home when my sister was reading the obituary for Chris Farley.
Oh.
She said, she stopped, everyone stopped and said, Mona, you need to start doing stand-up. And I just was finishing up my master's thesis.
What?
By my sister bullying me, and I looked at the rest of my family, and they're all like, yeah, like a bunch of mobsters. They're like, yeah, go start doing that stand-up. Like I owed them money. And comedy was going to be the way to do it. But really, they bullied me into it so much. My birthday gifts, everything was shoving me into the second city, to FemCom. So that's the good thing, is I really am thankful to my family for bullying me into my dream life.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you, then as far as having that kind of support, because not all comics have the support of their family.
It's true.
And they get a lot of disdain.
It's true.
The number one fan I have had my entire career, from the moment I said to my mom, I was at Northwestern University, I was going for my PhD in history.
See?
And I said, Mom, but I wanted to drop out. And I said, Mom, I really want to be a comic. I was really young, because I got into the program early. And I said, I really want to do this. And she goes, well, you aren't dating, you don't have any debt, there's no better time to do it. And she has been my number one fan and supporter ever. She would come to my shows. And I have so much material about her that people would... I had this joke that I used to close with that was about oral sex and hot fudge sundaes. And I'll tell you about it. I think you might have, maybe you've seen it, but I it was the first joke I ever wrote. But it was talking about my mom and trying to explain... She set the music back on.
Sorry, there was a big pause.
But it was about like this article I'd read in Cosmo, and they were like how to perform that act, and that you should approach it as though it were ice cream.
And your mom told you this?
No. Well, here was the thing. I wanted to talk about the first time a guy tried to get me to do that for them, and she hung up on me.
Okay,
right. And fair.
Well, I was gonna say
fair.
Which I would have done.
Right. She hung up on me. I didn't know why I was talking to my mom about it. And then she called me back and she goes, "I know how you can tell your joke about that."
Oh.
And she goes, "Remember that article in Cosmopolitan where they say you should lick it like it's ice cream?" That was how I wrote my very first joke my closer for like the longest time. So when we would leave, like the improv that used to be on Wells, she'd be like, people would walk out and be like, "Hey, you guys going for hot fudge sundaes?" Because of course the punchline was, "And don't forget to hold the nuts." So here's the thing.
There you go. But I'm bumped. Your service will be here all week.
Hello. But wow. No, I'm with you. That's having your family support. Do they come to the shows too? Do they come out?
Well, because of my mother, I think she just always loved comedy. My mom is the best person to get advice from on anything. She'll go stalk one of my talent for me. She went when I was in South Africa. I'm like, go check out Corey Bell. I love her. And she was sending me notes on South Africa of all the lineup of Laugh Factory. Good, too vulgar, inappropriate, because she was born in 1950.
Right.
So she has a really good eye. She knows original Johnny Carson. She knows Jonathan Winters.
Right.
She has a palate for comedy. And so of course, making her laugh meant I was smart, because she was so smart. So if I can impress her and make her laugh, I trust her judgment. So I really do. She's great for feedback, both as an audience member and as a comedian. Like, don't say that, Mona. One of the things she said is, Mona, we're at Carnegie Hall. Please, do not swear. Please, Mona. You swore at Kennedy Center. Please, we're at Carnegie Hall. Come on, you know what I said?
What?
Carnegie Hall, bitches.
I should have pressed the dump button for a second.
What did Mom say to that?
She's like, the ambassador of Palestine. The two ambassadors were there. But then I went into my normal set. That was the only time. But I mean, I'm a Chicago kid. Come on, man. Come on. Come on. Of course I'm going to swear. You told me not to swear. I'm going to swear.
Well, whenever someone tells me not to swear, it's all I can think of.
Don't swear.
Well, and you just never know. Like, it's funny to me that there are certain words you can't say in clubs, like the F word. There's a couple clubs where, like, don't ever say the F bomb, right? And that's fine. That's your club. Yeah. You can call it. But then, you know, to be able to have, there are guys that, like, do material, like, everything else.
Everything but it.
Everything
right?
but that. And you're like, but is it? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And one of the things I think with cursing, at least you know I'm not mincing words, because it's such an abrasive word that whatever's coming around it, you have to trust it. Because if I've went that bold, it's like,
she means it.
Yeah. And it's a sign of really smart people.
I'm just saying. Yeah.
And plus, I didn't make up the word.
No.
Did I?
No. We just use it out of, it's an homage to those who went before us.
Yeah. Isn't it something Order of the King? Isn't FU...
I don't know.
We'll Google it.
Yeah. Okay. Say, you, Vivian, would you tell us something good or with kind words?
I'll tell you something good.
Okay.
Easter is on Sunday.
Yes.
And I can't wait to eat lamb and yogurt and tzatziki. And
extra yogurt.
It's quite the meal.
And everything, because I don't know if you know this, Morena, but I've been fasting for the past 40 days and no meat, no dairy. So I'm very looking forward.
Ramadan's coming up. Were you able to drink water? I see you're fasting and I raise you water. There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, the Greek and the Arab go into a bar. They're drinking yogurt drink. No, I'm so happy that you've been fasting and you didn't say, "I, Mona, I cannot wait for some like Hostess cupcakes and a nice Portillo's." You're like, "No, I want meat.
I want meat.
He goes, "Christos Anestis, everybody."
Oh my God, you know that. That's so funny.
Big fat Greek wedding.
You know what it is? I mean, it's just spending time with my family. You know, it's just like a beautiful moment with all of us together and cracking jokes, being a Greek.
Yeah. Do you like, can we rent her for like my family events?
I'm sorry. Sometimes they
can't rent her out. I'm saying,
right. but she can.
She could totally curl her hair a little bit.
Yeah,
she could totally pull off Mona.
I think so.
All right.
Yeah, we'll work on it.
We gotta go.
The show just ended. More in a moment. And we'll turn the show over to Nick D. Go to monacomedy.com and come see us at the Riff on Monday nights. She's going to be there every Monday night hosting the Riff at the Comedy Bar at Geno's East. And I think we need to do like a monthly check in with Mona on how her birthday celebration is coming.
Yes,
definitely.
Okay, let's do that. All right then.
Thank you so much, Patty.
I'm booking all of my guests on the air tonight.
Are you? Yeah.